PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Got back inside and blew the generator. 6 hours, it'll be 100 below in here.
Well, that's suicide!
Not for that thing. It wants to freeze now. It's got no way out of here. It just wants to go to sleep in the cold until the rescue team finds it. What can we do? What can we do? Whether we make it or not, we can't let the thing freeze again. Maybe we'll just warm things up a little around here. We're not getting out of here alive. But neither's that thing.
We're in the boredom killing business. And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network?
We deal in illusions, man.
None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniac. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
All right, how's it going, guys? Welcome to episode 251 of Cinema Crespediso. It's a Halloween episode, sort of, I guess, just by proximity to Halloween, because it's in a couple days. Like, that's what we normally do. I actually checked Drew Sacogburn. Our horror genre Crespediso Film School bonus episode was put out in October 2014.
That was three amazing years ago.
It's only gotten better since then. Look at the world around us. It's only gotten better. I got your threat update. Current threat level is honeydew. Your credentials must be watched.
I mean, I guess you're right. We have gotten better. We went from just a trash fire to a dumpster.
Fire's gotten bigger.
To a dumpster fire. Yeah. And then from the dumpster fire, we went to the whole dump being on fire.
The whole dump is on fire.
Yeah.
There's a guy group right there.
The dump is on fire, Chris.
And we have a returning guest, I believe, third time on?
I think so.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Wilson is here. Yay!
Yo, yo, mofos.
How you doing, Nikki?
I'm really good.
You're busy.
I'm busy as hell. In the best way.
Weren't you just in California?
I was for almost a month, but it was like two trips. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was there for a weekend for a shoot, then back here for like 3 days and went right back.
Did you drive over there?
For the 3 week part, I did.
Why are you driving? Are you crazy?
I know, that's crazy. I brought all our gear. I know. I kind of thought it would be more of an adventure. And then I just, like, last minute had to be in California, like, immediately. So I just drove straight. I had a 2 hour nap and made it in 38 hours.
38 hours?
That was pretty insane.
That's not natural. You tried to Griswold it. But instead, he had to pull a vanishing point or two lane blacktop, which is one where anyway.
It was pretty fun.
You know what I'm
talking about. I ain't mad at it. Cool.
But it's also for work too.
It's a really great project. So
it's kind of a bummer that you have to literally go cross country for the work.
Yeah, it is.
But you did a good job. That's awesome.
I ain't mad at it.
Fantastic. Well, I know you've also been working on some other projects that you were funding, and I saw all the stuff you're doing on social media. So I want to talk about that in the beginning of the second half.
Sounds good.
During the plug section, you can catch us up on the workings of Nikki Wilson. Very fun. But before we do that, we have to attend to this thing that we call the show. So how do we do that, Drew? Oh man.
I don't know, Chris. How do we do that?
We do that by having the right soundboard up first, right? As a producer, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so good job pulling up the right soundboard.
Then you got to hit the right button.
And then you got to hit the right button. Hit that button, Drew. Good job, buddy. See? That's not so hard.
Chris, you're the one who hits the buttons.
Oh, what? It's me?
Picks of the week.
So confused.
Pick of the week.
Cinema Crespediso streaming.
It's theater of the mind, Drew. It's theater of the mind. They don't know. For all they know, a hand comes down from the ceiling and hits the button. Ooh,
we should make that happen.
We should get a hand that comes down from the ceiling and hit our buttons. We have a different pad of buttons for different hands, and a hand comes down.
We can make that happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do the streaming pick of the week every week, and we let you know what is out there, what you can watch, so you don't have to spend hours going through these libraries that are getting bigger and bigger with more original programming, which is I didn't ask for this stuff.
Chris, I don't have time for any more content.
I know. There's already enough content being made. Now we don't need the providers making their own content on top of it. It's like, what if we had Bright House, right? Wait, it's not Bright House. What if Spectrum then was like Spectrum?
Spectrum Original Series.
Yes. That's around the corner. That's next. That's how they think they're going to compete.
They already own those. Spectrum News 13, that's Spectrum only channel.
Oh, yeah, the news channel always flips, right? No matter who the provider is. Now it's the Time Warner only. Ooh, now it's Spectrum. You just bought the station. So we let you know every week what you can check out on the different libraries. And Nikki used a randomizer 9000.1. Go and let us know what is this week's pick of the week.
It is Young Frankenstein.
Oh, well, that's crazy.
I just added to my list on Netflix last night.
How is that so apropos? It's not even like you would think there's like 20 pieces of paper that say Young Frankenstein there. Do not check. Please do not check.
There probably are.
No, there's not. No, that's actually pretty crazy. That happens a lot on the show, actually, where the random pick of the week, it truly is a randomizer. It lines up with something on the show, and this week it just happens to be Halloween and Young Frankenstein, Mel Brooks, classic film. And I think kids and the younger set. What's after millennials? Because millennials are over. The kids that are being born now aren't millennials or something else.
Oh no, I just
something worse.
Too. Like why?
Why? Like why are they? Why are we having these kids? Why?
Good question.
Why are we?
Or no, it's Z. I think
Z is what because they're the last ones.
I so think what?
Because it's over.
And then what, we go back to A afterwards.
No,
we start adding numbers.
Don't know for sure. No, it's the children of men. They're the last ones. It's okay. The Omega class.
I'm totally okay with children of men style. Let's fucking do this shit.
Yeah, you're fine with it.
Yeah,
I guess.
I don't know that they would appreciate it though. I feel like. I don't know.
Well, you know, the sins of the parents are cast upon their children. It's not up to them.
True.
It's up to us.
You know? I'll say, because I know our parents... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I said our parents fucked it up for us. We're going to fuck it up for them even more.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, like, my students, it's like hard enough to get them to watch anything that's black and white.
Right.
Even, like, the really good shit.
Which is... Why? Why does that stigma happen? Where
I really don't know.
People are like, "Oh, it's a black and white. It must be boring
because
there's a lack." Actually, black and white is inherently more dramatic. First of all, you know, it's very
well because they get forced to watch Citizen Kane in History of Motion,
which is a boring movie.
Yeah,
it's a boring movie,
and then they think every black and white movie after that is
going to be boring.
Yeah.
But you have to watch Citizen Kane, being like, "All right, now first imagine how all movies are just like they put a camera on a tripod and they stuck it at a bullshit set that they made in a warehouse. Now watch this movie. And, oh, look, they're inside an actual house and their camera's moving. Look, you see how the camera's moving? This is incredible. And I've seen this in TV commercials every day. I know, but time, context of time. There are so many great black and white movies that I would be horrified to watch in color, like Night of the Living Dead.
It Happened One Night is one of my favorite movies of all time.
That's
black and white. Claudette Colbert, Clark Gable.
Wasn't that Roman Holiday black and white, I'm thinking?
I think so.
I mean, even newer movies are
Doctor
being
Strangelove.
Done. Are being done in black and white.
So good.
Young Frankenstein.
Every now and then. Yeah, Young Frankenstein is 80, 81. Mm-hmm. When Mel Brooks made it, he was like, man, I don't know the name of the guy who did the original Frankenstein movies, but Mel Brooks said, I want to make a movie that looks like... I want it to look like the original.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where they checked and like all the sets and stuff from the original movie, they were still like sitting around in a room somewhere gathering dust.
That's awesome.
They pulled it all out and cleaned it up and they put it on the set there and they got themselves like the original Frankenstein set.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. So I think it's part of what makes the movie work, in that when the actual making of the movie, Mel Brooks is very sincere in the technical aspects of creating that, and then it's, you know, jokey.
Every single thing about it is
look,
perfect.
Look at them knockers, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Igor's hump moving from side to side.
Yes, you know, it's the classic mixture of like highbrow literature, Frankenstein jokes with titty jokes and dick jokes and hump jokes and stuff.
I just saw a gag reel floating around Facebook yesterday from it.
Really?
Yeah.
Of Gene Wilder losing it throughout. Oh, man. That
it
sounds,
was great.
That sounds delightful.
Some of them are clips I hadn't actually seen before. So I was like, where did this come from? It was from a Johnny Carson episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
That was fun.
See, you gotta dig this old digitized stuff out. Back to the whole older black and white movies, like you'd think they'd be, just because they're older, you'd think they'll be boring. They'll get you sometimes. So I was on an airplane. I think I've told this story before in the show, so I'll make it quick. But I was on an airplane, and it's like a 2-hour flight, and it's the one where you got the TV in front of you, and it had a bunch of free movies in there to watch. And I was like, I need something to just fall asleep. I'm uncomfortable. I'm squeezed next to the window. So I'm looking. Oh, The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, Humphrey Bogart, 48. I know this was an influence on There Will Be Blood. I'll probably fall asleep 10 minutes in. This is all good. it's free. I put it on. Like, sucks me right in. I'm watching the movie, like, leaning into the screen. By the time the flight is ending, we're doing the dent. And then they're like, the pilot has turned on the, you know, fix your upright tray. And then the TV, they click off. I'm like, no, the movie had 10 minutes left in the movie. They were just about to cut off... 60-year-old spoiler, they're just about to cut off Humphrey Bogart's head. And then the camera shot, the TV's cut off. I was like, no! The next day, I went to Best Buy when they still sold media, and I bought a 2-disc special edition DVD of The Treasure of Sierra Madre. Nice. Watched the whole thing again. It's a great movie!
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking naively, oh, it's black and white, it's an old movie, I'll just probably fall asleep during it. It was so good!
There's so many good ones.
On the flip side, though, I'll sit down and watch a movie. That's, you know, an acclaimed movie, a Criterion Collection movie. The Naked City comes to mind. The film noir. I'm a big noir fan. I love Ray Chandler. Sit down to watch Naked City. 20 minutes, and I'm like, I gotta shut this off. I can't even pay attention to it.
Yeah.
So just, you know, it happens, right, Drew? Drew doesn't like anything that's black and white, unless it's unless it's a horror film.
Yeah. I was about to say The Mist was really good in the black and white version.
The Mist. There you go. Yeah. Have you seen The Mist black and white version?
Not the black and white one.
Oh, it's good. It's a special feature on the 2-disc. Of The Mist.
Oh, DVD. Nice.
Yeah, and man.
I definitely would watch that.
Frank Darabont wanted it to be in black and white originally, and of course, the studio's like, no.
Yeah.
And some of those digital effects, like, they benefit from being in black and white.
Oh, yeah,
it's
they
interesting.
Do.
And same deal with The Walking Dead. You wanted the whole show to be black and white.
Oh, wow.
Which would have been awesome.
And also would have kept in line with the comic book.
Yeah.
They said no, but then they did the. several years later, they showed the first episode in black and white. They remastered
which is really good.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Which is pretty cool. Which is then just them saying Frank Darabont was right. Hashtag Frank Darabont was right. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. Man, that's a great choice, Young Frankenstein. What a good movie. He did that at Blazing Saddles back to back.
Indeed.
That's nuts. But then how much of that, too, was Gene Wilder? Wasn't Gene Wilder writing Young Frankenstein on the set of Blazing Saddles? I think so.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think that's how the story goes. He's sitting down with a pen and paper. Mel Brooks comes over. Hey, what are you writing? What is this? Young Frankenstein. Right, this sounds like fun.
I've been introducing Blazing Saddles to like every human I've encountered in the last month and a half.
Nice.
It's an amazing movie.
Yeah,
I don't know how so many people have missed it.
Our new Sheriff Sadong.
Hey, where the white women at?
look, you watch this. You watch Django Unchained, and then you have 40 years of American Western, ignored Western history right there, summed up in two movies. Both, one very satirical, one that sort of satirical. Nice. Alright, here we go, Drew. It is time for Box Office. Talk about the monies. Box Office Top 5, Drew Sacogburn. Where are we starting that top 5 at?
Number 20.
Number 20, what?
The Florida Project made $539,000. Total of $2.1 million.
$2.1 million, not bad on a budget of what? $22 and a bag of owl wines.
Couple packs of cigarettes for Willem Dafoe.
Does it have how many screens that was on? Because that seems like a lot.
145. It increased by 33.
So it actually went up this weekend. Interesting. This week it got extended at the end scene. It's I think
a couple of times, yeah.
If you go on their website, it says it's playing up through Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
They have nothing scheduled for Friday, though. So they have nothing
they
scheduled.
They usually do updates on Monday if it's a really popular.
Oh, snap, check the website. I guess most of you can check
now.
Yeah,
like Monday night.
Yeah. the next thing they have scheduled to come out is like the second week of November, third week. Oh, wow. So there is a little bit of a window there where they can potentially just keep it over. If people keep showing up, why are they going to stop showing
it? Plenty of people are talking about it. It was really well done.
Yeah. Good. It's also interesting how Sean Baker does Tangerine all on the iPhone. And then his follow-up movie, all on 35mm. It's like I'm more than just a gimmick director. I can work with film as well, which is a lot of fun. So you actually saw the movie. You had the chance to see
yes.
it.
Yes. Well, you know, it's funny. I actually waited in line for 2.5 hours to see it in Cannes.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. And I was my friend and I were the first people to get cut off.
Oh.
And I was so mad because I was really, really, really looking forward to seeing it. I had heard a bunch of shit about it and knew that it was really good.
Yeah.
So I waited 5 months, technically 4 months, to see that.
On top, when you were so close to actually seeing it.
It was so disappointing.
That's funny.
And to wait that long was like, oh, come on.
But you did finally get to see it.
I did, and it was good. It was really good. It definitely is intense and a difficult watch, and there was like a Insta burst into tears.
Oh, really?
Oh, you couldn't even remotely control it.
Oh,
but
interesting.
Willem Dafoe is phenomenal. The kid actors are crazy good.
Yeah. And it's the type of thing where they just found some like random kids or went out there
amazing.
And they found them. It's crazy how that happened.
I don't know how they found such good kids. Like,
it's the casting director, right? It's whoever, the process.
Yeah, I would love to learn more about how they found those kids, but yeah, they were really, really good. And actually, one of the actresses who's a neighbor character, she's in a bunch of Full Sail films.
Oh, really?
We're like, oh, nice, that's awesome.
That's awesome, yeah, because it was made right here on 192 in the Kissimmee area, very poor part of Central Florida. Can you feel that poverty really dripping off the screen
God,
there?
It definitely was like poverty porn. I was kind of saying earlier, it's like all these old rich white people that attend, they're the audience at the NZN.
Poverty tourism.
It was me and a friend who was the only person of color in the entire theater, by the way.
Yeah.
And we were just sitting there like, oh God, this feels gross. Like, it feels like it was poverty porn.
Yeah, like you're sitting there, this is how they live. How terrible for them.
Yeah. I mean, it really did. And it's not like, I mean, I felt like it like super impacted me, and I watched it thinking, God, if I had literally just taken like one different step in my life, that could have been me.
Yeah, so close to, yeah, absolutely. I get that.
And I
yeah,
think I like that. Any normal human would probably feel that way, like, shit. And then, you see these other people. Right. And I guess I am kind of prejudging rich old white people, but
if
at the same time,
if there's any group ripe for prejudging in this current day and age, it's the old rich white people.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you for Brexit. Thank you for Trump. That's what they gave us. That's what they
I don't
gave
know.
Us.
I just definitely just was not comfortable with that audience. Very, I wish
very
it had
interesting.
Been more diverse.
I remember similar charges, I guess you would say, being said about Ryan Gosling's movie, Lost River, because he shot that in Detroit. And it's about, you know, poor people living in some a nameless rundown city, but he used Detroit. Yeah. And people were like, this is just like straight up like poverty porn or poverty tourism. You're just using this light as set decoration.
I did like that it was sort of a really good juxtaposition with and commentary on that we have Disney and all these, you know, this tourist market here.
Yeah.
But that's not reality for people
who actually live here. Yeah, sure.
So I did like that aspect of it. And just as a film in general, I thought it did a really great job of showing that, like,
and
Orlando is not Disney.
And using the location, I always find it very interesting that it stands out to us more when it's a place where we're living.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting when a movie does not take place in your typical New York, LA, and then they're like, no, this is like Arlington, Virginia. Like, Arlington is like a very essential to the dynamics of the story, and they, you know, it's not too often movies actually do that, where they take that extra time to really set up the location itself.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the whole corny the fifth character, you know, the City of Silver's character. What do you guys know what I'm talking about?
A little
about?
Bit, it was for sure.
And also, it's cool that they actually shot it here and didn't shoot it in like Louisiana.
There was a little bit of logic issues in the distance of things.
Oh, that
if
happens,
you really
yeah.
know Orlando.
Yeah, he's all this guy walked 20 miles and then 5 minutes, that type of thing. Yeah, sure.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, come on. If you guys want that much realism, then just pull up Google Maps.
Yeah.
Click through the satellite images. All right, Florida Project. We're going to have to get on that, Drew. We're going to have to get on
it.
Eventually.
I mean, I know the engine's really far away, but we'll just have to we'll pack some bags, and we'll load up the vape pen, and we'll head out there. And
it might it take today. A whole yeah. 10 minutes.
Yeah.
A whole
three.
A whole 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. We're walking?
Yes.
All right, so that was number 20. Mm-hmm. Hanging in there, Florida Project. Good for you guys. All right, so what's number 19? What's next?
Number 14.
All right, 14. Whoa.
The Mountain Between Us made $1.3 million, total of 28.
Still $1.3 million worth of ticket traffic for The Mountain Between Us. Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Someone here is a big fan
wrong.
Of Idris Elba.
I
it's,
am.
And also, I was going to say Juicy Cogman, but it's Nikki as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
I will say, I have. He has a habit of making really shitty movies. TV. Fantastic.
Yeah,
movies
yeah.
all horrible. All I had them? The lowest expectations I've ever had going into that movie, and I actually liked it.
Did you see marketing? Did you see trailers? Or did you go into just a little bit? I thought the trailers were okay. I thought maybe they gave away a little too much, but by
I don't
the time
think it, they portrayed how much of it was a romantic story.
Did they eat the dog?
No.
They don't eat the dog. Oh, you should eat the dog. Yeah, there you go. You're gonna,
apparently,
you're going to trek it through
yeah.
the mountain with you.
No,
yeah,
certain,
you see it in the trailer.
It was
yeah.
super predictable in the romantic sense.
That's interesting because
was...
I feel like in the trailer they shied away from hinting at any romantic.
Yeah,
link
and I watched
them.
An interview with Idris talking about how he wanted people to know it was a romantic.
Yeah, interesting. So. I wonder,
it looked
that,
like a survival story
I,
more
I thought,
than a
I thought
romance
it was a straight
thing.
Up survival story.
Yeah, it's really like it, probably more romance than the survival aspect.
Which comes through from the title, The Mountain Between Us. The title seemed, that's so interesting. I always thought the title seemed incongruous to the movie that was being marketed.
It was a book though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it does say at some point in the trailer, I think, based on the book or whatever.
Yeah.
It does. It's marketed as a movie that should be called like Survival or The Mountain,
yeah.
or you know, something like that. But if the trailer hints at more like, oh, they fall in love as they help each other off this mountain, then The Mountain Between is like, oh, okay, yeah, that seems more in line with interesting.
I think that was one of the maybe the only movie of his I've liked.
Really? I'm pulling up Idris Elba's Pacific Rim.
I didn't see it.
Oh, you should see it.
Pretty good.
You should see it.
Okay, I'll
he plays a guy named Stacker Pentecost. I mean, come on.
He's got a bitchin' mustache.
Yeah, he's got a mustache. He gives speeches. He's a very tragic hero. He's great. He's Idris Elba. Zootopia.
Oh, all right.
I mean, that doesn't count. It's just
yeah,
voice.
It doesn't because you don't get to look at his face.
Just great voice. Wasn't he also the voice of in
he was
Jungle Book?
Book?
Yeah, he. Like that actually, great. I actually felt like, man, he's a that's an intimidating voice coming out of this.
I guess I'll clarify thing. The movies with his face.
Okay,
in
fair
it.
Enough, which is weird. He's got that Molly's Game coming out this year. Have you seen the trailers for that?
No.
He's what is he? An attorney, defense attorney.
Oh
looks like.
Yes, yeah. I did see the trailer.
Jessica
for that.
Chastain is.
Yeah, that looks pretty good.
It's Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, then it's.
So everyone's gonna be talking like that. The Thor movies. Yeah. Any of them? This new one looks pretty good.
They don't excite me that much. And they're not really him. They're not really
he's got a, and he's very, very small parts of them, too. Star Trek Beyond. He was a bad guy in that. You didn't see his face.
That was all right.
And it wasn't that good. I never saw The Take.
That was so bad
was
that I turned it off in the middle. And I never do that.
Really?
Ever.
Why was it so bad?
It was him and the guy who plays Robb Stark from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And I don't know his name. It was unwatchable.
Really?
So bad.
Was it English? An English-made film, director, video?
I don't
video,
know, actually.
The Gunman with Sean Penn. Do you remember that one?
Nope.
No.
Very unforgettable. Never. Very forgettable movie.
Dark Tower was shit.
He was great in No Good Deed.
Eh.
movie wasn't good.
No.
But he was great.
He was good.
He was very
terrifying.
Very intimidating.
But it wasn't good.
Mandela. He's a great Mandela.
Yeah, he was.
Did you see it though?
He was parts of it. I watched the documentary.
It's long.
About his music stuff.
Yeah, just watch the documentary. Prometheus. Come on.
Didn't see that one either.
You didn't see it? Okay.
I mean, I did. I have such low expectations. I don't bother a lot.
Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. He played a drunk guy.
Yeah, he does.
Nope. Missed that.
Yep. Find the old wine and him and the Ghost Rider drinking. Mm-hmm.
No.
No, I think his thing is TV. Whoever does his work that gets him jobs.
I don't know.
TV
I just think I'm a bigger Idris Elba fan than you are. I think that's what's going on here. The Losers. He was in The Losers. I don't remember who he was.
Missed that too.
I don't even remember that actually. Rock and roller. Rock and roller. He was a rock and roller. Yeah, he got to use his accent in rock and roller. Remember that one?
No? I did not see that.
You didn't see that one?
That's good.
I have heard that one. I should watch that one multiple times.
It's an interesting one. I don't know if I can necessarily say people would like it, but when it comes to Guy Ritchie, it's one of his more notable.
Well, here's what I'll say.
Contributions to cinema.
I hate Tyler Perry movies, and I forced myself to sit through Daddy's Little Girls.
Yeah.
Something like that, because it was on Hulu and I did a search for his name.
Interesting.
And it was so bad, but I made myself watch the whole thing.
Is Idris Elba in it?
Yeah. It was an American accent.
Interesting.
He's the daddy.
What was Daddy's Little Girls? He was the daddy of Daddy's Little Girls?
Uh-huh.
Was it a sex thing, the little girls?
No. I wish. Not with the little girls. I wish that it was just a movie about him being a daddy.
Chica's calling him daddy. Ape calling him poppy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think it's official. I'm a bigger Idris Elba fan than Nikki. All right. Good to know.
Good job, Chris. Number five this week.
Good to know. Number five. But you recommend Mountain Between Us. You said you liked it.
Yeah, I mean, see it. If you like
that was
romance.
A rousing endorsement.
But you have to be like, I mean,
if you like survival romance.
It's not a dude movie. It's not for dudes.
It's not for dudes?
Yeah, I mean, if you really
but
like
but it's for
romantic.
People who like good movies.
Yeah.
That's, again, not very enthusiastic.
Yes. I'm going to say yes. But just know that it's definitely, like, a little bit of a chick flick.
That's not fine with it.
Yeah,
if it's good, if it's good, it's good.
He's great in it.
He is great.
Yeah.
How's Kate Winslet? I haven't mentioned Kate Winslet. I'm a big Kate
Winslet
fan.
Apparently she's not that great.
Yeah, not even worthy of
I like her, too, a lot. And I was happy with that choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
As a stand-in for Nikki Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah,
fair enough. All right, Drew Zakai, we're going to take it away.
Number five.
Blade Runner.
2049.
$3.9
million, total 81.
$3.9 million in what weekend?
This is the fourth weekend.
That's actually not too bad, considering a $30 million opening weekend to still be making $5 million 4 weekends out. I mean, what was the percentage drop from week to week? Very low.
46.
Well, yeah, I guess. So it made almost $10 million last weekend?
Yeah.
So the percentage drop was low from the previous week. They went from 15, 10, 5. Yeah, that's not bad, actually, considering.
I'm going to see it.
Too, man, it is maybe. So, like, if
it's
you...
It's good.
If you
really good.
Like, yeah. Movies in general, it's worth seeing in a theater because it's, like, big presentation, big sound, visuals, everything about it. If you like the original Blade Runner, I feel like it delivers on
100% on everything.
On what makes the Blade Runner, what makes it cool. I find it very, very well made, very compelling movie. I enjoy quite a bit. A lot of people out there don't. But what are you going to do? It's a movie. It's a Blade Runner movie. The first one bombed.
The second one got a bomb.
It does. Bomb is a very strong.
What was
word.
The budget on it?
150.
And look at what can you get a total?
Yeah, hang on a second.
Yeah, I mean, with marketing, it's closer to, well I don't know. They didn't do a lot of
140.
With marketing, I would put it at 250, 300 total. With
142.4 and 223 total.
223. This thing's going to be like barely break even, I think.
Yeah, probably.
So, which is not a bomb. People are like, oh, it was the biggest bomb of the year. No,
at least it didn't lose a bunch of money.
Yeah. Geostorm, they already announced that's going to be a write down of $100 million on Geostorm.
Yeah, so. A bunch of my friends worked on that too. I feel bad. It was like years ago, though. That movie was made like at least 4 or 5 years ago.
I thought you were going to say.
Makes sense.
I thought you were going to say that the movie was made in like 1997.
Oh, no.
And then they just CG Gerard Butler over like.
It's been a couple
Treat
of years.
Treat Williams or someone.
For sure, it's been a couple
really?
Years. And it just randomly came out. And I was like, whoa,
that's really funny.
I forgot about that.
And this movie exists. That's how long it takes to do all those amazing special effects. They didn't want to rush.
Or somebody didn't give a shit about it. And
it's almost
it
fine.
Sat on
like,
the shelf.
Well,
just
I mean,
put this thing out already.
I mean, not even Roland Emmerich would do this movie.
Yeah, so. That's how bad it was.
You saw it?
No.
No.
Oh.
No, we saw the trailer.
Yeah, we saw the trailer. Is it from the producers of all the Roland Emmerich movies? But then you look for Roland Emmerich's name, and it's nowhere on it.
It's like his third AD that shot it. It's like, just give it to just give it to Mitch, and he'll shut up about
the PA in the office.
Yeah, there's someone around. Hey, who's that guy making coffee? You. You're directing Geostorm. He drops the coffee.
Step everywhere. On up.
What I do? You're a white male. You can handle this.
Number four this week, Chris.
That's how they give out jobs in Hollywood, right?
Totes. Sure.
No.
Seems right.
Number four this week, Happy Death Day, made $5 million.
Happy Death
total
Day.
Total 48.
We did 48 total? Not bad. Not bad.
I don't know anything about that.
Happy Death Day is the slasher film version of Groundhog Day.
Correct.
A girl.
Interesting.
It is. That's what I thought too initially. So it's a decent trailer because it's a setup. A girl wakes up in a dorm room. She's like, oh, what the hell happened? She goes through the whole day. It's her birthday. At the end of the day, she dies. Someone with a mask. The school, the college is the Bayside or Bayview Babies. So they got baby masks. Everyone's got a crazy baby
That's
mask.
That's creepy.
So it was actually a pretty good choice of mask, right?
Nice.
Stabs her. She dies. She wakes up. In the same bed, it's the same morning. She's like, what? She lives with the exact same day, groundhog style. And then at the end, she tries to do something different, dies. Wakes up again, so she has to then figure out her own murder to be able to continue moving on with her
That's
day.
That's pretty interesting.
Interesting, fun idea,
different.
Right?
Yeah.
We actually see the movie, and it's like, they're like, yeah, we got a great idea. All right, I'll make the movie. And then they're like, but you gotta actually like do something with the idea. You know, it was very straightforward.
Yeah.
No surprises.
At the end of the movie, they even talked about Bill Murray and Groundhog Day.
At the end, they did straight up like, hey, you know, this reminds me of that movie Groundhog Day. And she's like, Bill Murray, who's Bill Murray?
Oh,
and, we're like, that's the least believable thing in this entire movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone doesn't
yeah.
know who Bill Murray is.
Shit.
Especially a college kid. It's college. He's,
yeah.
Yeah, so it was disappointing. It was disappointing, yeah. And unfortunately, maybe... Besides for Blade Runner, the best movie we've seen this month.
Yeah, this is a rough month.
It's been a rough month. Which is, we'll talk about that a little bit more in a second.
Number three this week,
best movie we saw so far, yeah.
Geostorm.
Number three.
Made $5.6 million.
Speaking of
total of 23.
That's a lot, man. And then plus the marketing, forget about it. It's a lot of movie. Maybe they were waiting for Gerard Butler to get hot again.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
No, I don't think so either.
Angel Has Fallen? They could have just waited for for his remake of Air Force One.
That's not going to help anything.
It's going to help the Gerard Butler fans.
Who are...
Are there any left of those? I don't know.
He's in Rock and Rolla.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he is. He's actually not bad in Rock and Rolla.
It's him and Tom Hardy, right? Hanging out?
Yeah. It's really skinny Tom Hardy.
Skinny gay Tom Hardy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I need to see that.
It's actually an interesting movie.
Yeah.
Toby Kebbell is the rock and roller. Yeah. It's got a solid cast.
It really does.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. And then it's Guy Ritchie, so it's all like, and lots of music. And then he's like, me and my mates were doing this, and they're running down an alley. That's what the Aladdin movie's going to be like. That was number three, Geostorm.
Yep.
Everyone go see Guy Ritchie's Geostorm.
Number two. Tyler Perry's Boo 2, A Madea Halloween. Oh, God.
Tyler Perry's Geostorm.
We can gross $10
million. $10
million? Total of 35.
$20 million budget?
25.
Ooh, we got an extra $5 million out of there for that. Because it's a sequel, he's like, I need an extra $5 to slap that 2 on the title. That's what he's doing.
Yep.
Never gonna do it. Never.
We saw the Maid of Christmas.
Yeah, we saw
the We got the poster up there.
It was awful.
Also, I saw Confessions of a Marriage Counselor because that is a drama. And no, it's Madea free. And it is an interesting, eye-opening look into the psyche of Tyler Perry and his politics on women and sex.
Interesting.
Yes, very interesting. Very latent. Definitely religious-based misogyny and victim blaming. It's fascinating. Just be said.
I don't think I need to see it.
You might just be like, oh, Tyler Perry. Now I see. Essentially, a woman cheats on her very well-meaning husband with the devil, and then the devil gives her AIDS, and then her husband leaves her, and then the movie ends with the husband with the new wife, and everything's great over there, and then she's just like sad and walking away, like limping for some reason. AIDS gives you a limp.
Got AIDS the leg, bro.
Oh, and then the devil.
Got them leg AIDS.
Devil, not to blame at any point whatsoever. He gets on his airplane, flies off.
Oh, God.
It is wild, wild movie. Confessions of a Marriage Counselor.
Couldn't do it. Haven't been able to do Tyler Perry since Diary of a Mad Black Woman pissed me off so much.
Did it?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. If you get the chance to be a successful African-American filmmaker, why would you play into the stereotype?
Why would you?
I'm not even a black woman, and it made me super fucking annoyed.
Yeah. I gotta agree.
Like, she was already over the husband or whatever cheating and moved on with her life and had a new boyfriend. And then something happens and the husband needs her again. And she just drops that dude and goes back to her husband and then gets angry again.
Angry black woman.
You're already over it. What the fuck?
I'm an angry black woman. That's what I do. I'll bleep that out.
Sorry.
let me just mark that. Should I mark that out? I'll remember.
Number one this week.
About the 34 and a half minute mark. His movies are infuriating if you actually watch them. And he has a huge audience, and it's amazing how religious his audience is, because he's religious. Also alleged secretly gay, which again leans into a lot of his like apparent hatred for women. Not saying that gays hate women, but that his confusion in terms of sexuality and repression manifests itself in other ways. Misogyny is often one of those ways.
Yeah.
This is not New Great Philosophers. That's another show that Drew and I will be debuting soon. Mm-hmm. After the Orlando Berg Odyssey. Yeah. We got a lot in the works here.
Right? So much.
PFT Studios. All right, so everyone go see Tyler Perry's Geostorm. What's number one?
Jigsaw. Made $16.2 million.
Wait, where?
Didn't even know that was a movie.
What happened to Suburb Icon?
Nope. That was number nine.
Man, you totally skipped that one. How much did that make?
We didn't see it.
Well, how much did it make,
though? $2.8 million.
$2.8 million?
What is that?
Ooh, the new Matt Damon. Ooh.
Oh, I know.
Directed by George Clooney, no. From a screenplay by the Coen brothers. Written back in the 80s.
That's not the little people. No, that's
downsizing. No, that's downsizing. That's Alexander Payne. Who apparently himself a misogynistic monster.
I believe that.
Yeah, but then he also made Nebraska in black and white. So what are you going to do?
I don't know anything out of the loop, apparently, because half of these I didn't even know existed.
Well, Suburbicon is another one. We're in movies every weekend, so we feel like we've seen this trailer a bunch. Written by the Coens in the 80s, right around when they wrote Blood Simple. So it kind of supposedly has that feel, that thriller, suburban thriller type thing. George Clooney and his writing partner, Grant Heslov, who's been in a bunch of movies himself. He looks familiar to people. They rewrote it, did a pass on it. George Clooney directed it. It debuted a month or two ago, I think, at International Film Festival. I think it was there. I remember debuting at a festival and not getting good reviews. Mm. And then it just came out this weekend. Drew, can you pull up the Rotten Tomatoes on this one? I looked at the Rotten Tomato. Here's what happened. Nikki, what had happened was, I pulled up the Rotten Tomato. We had already seen The Snowman. We haven't even talked about The Snowman.
Mm.
That's The Snowman.
Okay. Oh, so awful. 26%.
You'll appreciate you on Suburbicon.
Yeah,
26% out of how many reviews?
141.
So it's not like it's a small sample size. What's the consensus on the Rotten Tomatoes?
A disappointing misfire for director George Clooney. Suburbicon attempts to juggle social satire, racial commentary, and murder mystery, and ends up making a mess of all three.
That's why I keep reading. Everyone was saying it's a total mess.
Yeah,
that's trying to be a dark comedy, but also a thriller, but also some sort of racial social issues thing, which is not hinted at in the trailer at all, and they just make a mess of all of it, and it stinks, and no one likes it. So, but the director, Thomas Alfredson, did Norwegian Radio an interview before the movie came out. Imagine if you did this, so you're a producer on this movie, where your director did an interview the weekend that your movie comes out and says, "Oh yeah, well the shoot was very rushed because the money came in last minute, so when we got to the editing, we realized that we didn't shoot the entire story and pieces were missing, so there's nothing we can do. That's why the movie is bad."
OMG.
That's when the movie is coming out, like 2 days before it's released.
Yikes.
Isn't that crazy?
That's pretty crazy.
And then you see the movie, and you know what?
He's right.
Like it?
It's like, there are things missing from this movie. But it makes no sense.
Okay, Chris, as bad as that is, The Snowman's right. 8%.
8% Rotten Tomato score?
Tyler Perry's Boo 2?
Yeah.
7.
Oh, and
7?
And he shot that entire screenplay. He shot the whole screenplay too. That's just racial bias against from the elites, the East Coast elites. I don't know how.
No, he makes bad movies.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah, for sure.
He makes really bad movies, but they make money though. Uwe Boll's movies made money. Because
there's no other options.
Yeah,
If there was anyone making good African American stories, they would be watched before.
That's why they're that's why they're going to TV. I got that little I'll get that. That's about 39 minute mark. We'll get all these fucks. Don't worry about it. That's why they're all going to Blackish and Empire and what's the one? Insecure is another one, I think.
On HBO.
Yeah, on HBO. That because they're getting the content now on TV where or any Shonda Rhimes program. You know, it's where the black creators are actually getting a chance to thrive a little more. Whereas in movies, it's like, oh, it's a risk. There are no successful black directors.
Well, there were.
We're not giving them a chance, but there are none.
I will say two things. When I was at Cannes this year, I had a meeting.
Say the two things.
I am. I had a meeting with this chick from Go Digital, which is like a digital aggregator company. And I was talking to her about Dutch Book, my last feature.
Yes.
And I mentioned that Keith David and Roger Glenbury Smith were in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, anything with any people of color in it will be bought immediately.
Interesting.
Right now. It's trending to have diverse.
That's my bad. Diversity is a popular thing right now.
It is. And it was also pretty evident at the Sundance Labs this year. They had pretty much every project touch that subject.
Mm-hmm.
Denzel Washington's son is in one of those. It's going to be. There's going to be a lot of that stuff coming.
Good.
And thank God.
And hopefully.
Better stuff than Tyler Perry.
Yes. Hopefully better. And hopefully profitable, because that's the only way.
The girl strip movie did really good and the white girl version of it bombed.
Yes. Yeah,
it
did. Which we made the mistake of seeing the white girl version because it looked like very bad things.
Yes.
And it wasn't very bad.
It was just very bad things.
It was very mediocre.
It was just a very bad movie.
Well, it wasn't very bad. It just wasn't that memorable. Whereas, meanwhile, our listeners, we got, I don't know, half a dozen listener reviews of Girls Trip. Everyone likes it.
Yeah.
So, came out last week, I think. It came out last week on DVD, maybe. So I'm finally getting it. Or maybe next week.
I'm gonna make it happen too. I didn't see it either.
Yeah, I want to see it. Because those two movies too came out like right around the same time.
The same weekend, I want to say.
Yes,
yeah, like, it was like really close.
Come on, guys, give us a chance. I was gonna say something else, and I forgot. What were we talking about? Tyler Perry making tons of money. Ryan Coogler.
I can't wait for
Black Panther. That's
gonna be so good.
I was rewatching scenes from Creed, and like, man, he's just so masterful of a director. The guy's the truth. I can't wait for anything he does, let alone Black Panther, no matter what.
I heard he's not doing Creed 2, actually.
Sylvester Stallone is directing Creed 2.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't gonna, because they wanted Creed 2 to happen at by a certain schedule. He wanted to move on to something else. He would have done a Creed 2 if they gave him an extra year or two.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, I got a chance to do Black Panther for Marvel. This is pretty awesome. So, you know, he made a decision to only stay on as a producer. Maybe as a... Because he co-wrote it. So
yeah.
Maybe he co-wrote Creed 2.
And helped it.
But, I mean, they announced a couple weeks ago that Stallone stepped up as a director. And then when they announced it, I was like, well, you know, when you think about it, duh. They had the answer right there for him the whole time. If you're making it's still in the Rocky universe, Creed is still very much a Rocky movie. Like, like Coogler knew what he was doing. Why not just get the guy who made like five of the original, original six? No, four of the original six, and one of the better Rocky Balboa. It's a great movie. It's a great movie. I think it's a legit great movie. Rocky III is fun, but Rocky Balboa is great. Rocky II is good too. It's very underrated. It gets lost in the shuffle. Now we're just talking about Rocky movies. Happy Halloween, Rocky movies. That's how that works, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Totes.
All right. That's my Halloween for Rocky theme song. So people go see... my point was that we didn't see anything. We didn't go to the movies because we're tired of seeing all these bad movies. Suburbicon, Happy Death Day, Snowman, the Nomad, hashtag the Nomad. What else did we see? We saw one other thing, didn't we? I feel like, it was such a bad month. Every time we sat down and the movie started, I was like, I just wish we were just watching Blade Runner.
That was the last good movie we saw.
I just want to see Blade Runner again. And it was like, it's so good, too. It's like such a towering piece of art. And then you go see The Snowman. It's like, God damn it. So that's why we didn't see Suburbicon. Instead, we stayed back and we watched 5 out of 8 hours of Stranger Things 2.
Nice.
The other big release this weekend, new release. The trick with that is finding the time to watch an 8-hour movie, because that's what how they set it up.
What's going on, yeah.
That's I made it happen yesterday.
Did you?
Yep, the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
How much did you enjoy it?
A lot.
Like, as much as the first one, more, right? Expectations level-wise? What's going on there?
Probably close to the same, although maybe just, like, a teeny bit less, because there's, like, the Billy character is pointless and useless and serves no purpose.
Does he end up being pointless? Because we're only, remember,
fuck yeah.
We're only 5 episodes
I'm
in.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay. I can't with the fucking cursing.
It just comes out.
So much work.
He is the most pointless character of television history. Awesome.
5 episodes and I'm feeling like, what's the point of this guy?
Yeah. There is no point.
There needs to be a point.
There is no point. All right,
good to know. Now I'm not expecting one. Okay, fine.
Sorry if that's a spoiler.
No, actually, that would make it easier for me to enjoy the rest of the show then, because I'm like, why is this guy
and
even
I
here?
Love Max, like the Mad Max
Mac
girl,
is cool.
But like
Max makes
the
sense.
Billy brother character
is Max is making sense in the context of the show 100%. I love the introduction of Max. Like, they're like, who's Mad Max? And then like, Max, and they're like,
and I love badass chicks, like in anything. And
yeah,
she's
sure.
A badass little girl on skateboard. Like, that's cool.
Skateboarding chicks, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it so far, Drew.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I really thought that I was going to stretch it out a little more this time.
Were you really? We were actually going to try
planning
to squeeze in more. Yeah.
Yeah, just didn't. I just kept hitting next. Then I realized it was over.
I do got to say, the second season of this show, I am enjoying it, but it's not like, I can't remember if the first season really sucked me in as much as it did other people, though, because this one, it hasn't like, pow, really got me. I'm enjoying it very much, but it's not like when I'm watching Mr. Robot, man, episode 4, Wednesday, I can't believe Mr. Robot, I'm watching that like on the edge of my seat, like, oh, what's gonna happen? What is this? What's happening?
I'll agree with that, because I feel, even at the end of it, I was kind of like, I didn't need to watch the last episode. Like, immediately. It didn't give me, like, that have-to-see-it feeling.
Interesting.
Okay. But I still got it over with.
Still dug it. And you know what? Netflix has put out so much junk. But people want that Stranger Things, and it cut through. It cut through all that noise.
Mm-hmm.
Have you, like, ever actually sifted through the original programming section?
Oh, yeah. I watched a good bit of it. Yeah. I will say Big Mouth was...
I've been wanting to watch
fantastic.
Big Mouth. I want to watch it.
I watched all of it at once, too.
Those are all half-hour episodes, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I gotta get on that Big Mouth, man. I'm a fan of Nick Kroll and all those people.
Yeah, John
Mantzoukas.
Mulaney.
Yeah,
Jordan
Mulaney.
Peele is in
come
it.
Come on.
He plays the ghost of Duke Ellington. It's so good.
It's great.
It really is. And it came out of nowhere. Like, just... popped up.
Just the ghost of Duke Ellington pops up out of nowhere?
Oh, no, I mean the show.
Oh,
Big Mouth.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with all these shows now. They all pop up out of nowhere. It's amazing when they pick a show to promote. There's like the Glow billboards were around town for a while. Like, why? Of all the shows, why are they promoting this one?
Have you seen Schitt's Creek? I'm pretty sure that's Netflix original.
No, Schitt's Creek was on...
Oh, was it?
Yeah, this was on TV.
I don't have TV, so I don't really know.
And it's like a weird channel, too. It's like on TV Land or something.
Oh, really?
Yes.
God, it's really good, though.
But it's
I discovered
it's Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy, right?
But the best character is... Well, Catherine O'Hara is pretty great, but Eugene Levy's son, Dan, is the writer, co-creator, writer with him.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
Interesting. Schitt's Creek. Yeah,
it's real good.
Yeah, that was on. That's been on TV for a minute. Actually, there's just too
totally
much.
Totally oblivious.
There's
to
just
that. There is too much.
Too much content.
I thought it was Netflix original.
Too much content, Drew. Well, yeah, it's on something though. But you're watching on Netflix.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. They just it should all be on there now. All the Jerry Seinfeld comedians getting cars with. Comedians getting cars with coffee, right? That's not. That's what it's called.
I haven't seen that at all.
That because no one saw it because it was on Crackle.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
But now it's on Netflix.
And now everybody's going to see it.
So now people are going to start watching. There's like 5 seasons of it.
Oh, wow.
With a new season just then coming up now. Yeah, so there you go. You can watch Jerry Seinfeld interview a bunch of white dudes. Mostly white dudes.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
like 90% white dudes.
I mean, he's a white guy himself. He feels most comfortable in a close environment with other white people.
Yeah, but he is also friends with Chris Rock. Chris Rock does an episode. But
he do an episode with Obama? I swear there was one.
Did he during that healthcare run that Obama did?
That's I feel like there was an episode with him.
Because he did the Between
right
Two Ferns, which is hysterical.
Oh, yeah,
that was a good one.
So good.
That one and the Brad Pitt one are actually.
No, the Brad Pitt one's my
Justin
favorite.
Justin Bieber did a really good one, too, where they gave him some really good lines that he delivered with aplomb. We'll talk more about Justin Bieber in the second half of the show, like we always do. So there you go. That was your box office recap. We saw Stranger Things. we're still watching it, but we're all enjoying it, have enjoyed it. Stranger Things 3 surely is going to happen because, you know, money.
I mean, yeah, of course.
Because money. New movies come out on DVD. Kidnapped, the Halle Berry 90s kidnap thriller.
Oh, that, how was that? I missed it.
We missed it too. Well, we saw the trailer.
Surprised it came out in theaters.
Yeah, surprised it came out. Well, what I think was happened, what had happened was the movie got released in theaters in 1996, but then it went into like a black hole, a theater black hole. And then it just got released in 2017.
Really?
I think that's because this movie's straight from the 90s is what it is. That's what I'm saying, yes. This movie time traveled from the 90s. It doesn't help that Halle Berry looks mostly the same.
Yeah.
She hasn't changed very much, so. Halle Berry is a, what happened? Someone gets kidnapped? Her kid's kidnapped.
Kid, mm-hmm. I think, kid's yeah. kidnapped.
You took the wrong kid, Chris.
Took the wrong kid. So it's not to be confused with the one where she's a 911 operator helping someone else be kidnapped. Not to be confused with the one where... Anyway. It's a Halle Berry movie. I'll watch it on DVD. I also remember how another 90s thing about in the trailer. At the end of the trailer, it said kidnap in big letters on a screen. And then voiceover guy comes out of nowhere, hasn't said a word the entire trailer. He's just sitting there quietly in the corner. And then he goes, kidnap. Nice. Like, what? Oh, thank you, voiceover guy. I thought that said Kidnap. Thank you for saying that out for me. The Dark Tower. Idris Elba.
Mm. Ew.
What a bummer.
God, it was so fucking bad.
Again, the cursing.
So bad. It was so bad.
Stop fucking cursing.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? Why is this movie so bad? Why is it so bad?
I don't know how you mess it up that
bad. You could say, how did they fuck it up that bad?
Really, seriously, how? How?
Yeah.
You have so many good elements, and they just did not
get great work. Source material, good actors, good production value, and then it's a bummer of a story.
There was no story. It just ended.
It just
all of a sudden.
They went through their quick plot points.
Yeah.
And they were like, I guess that's done, Brit, right? But movie?
It felt like they ended the central plot of the entire series in the first movie, but then it ends with Idris Elba and the kid like walking down the sidewalk like, oh, what's our next adventure? Right?
Yeah.
Like, what is this? Don't
know.
That movie officially made my dude never want to let me pick a movie again because I really? Was hyping it so much. Yeah. He was like, let's go to Dark Tower. I have to see it.
Yeah.
I ruined it forever.
That was
my privileges have been revoked for like 6 months at least.
Now you gotta cherry pick the next the right one. Right? Yeah. I'm back in his good graces. That sucks.
He didn't like Moonlight either.
He didn't like Moonlight. Well, he's just a soulless person.
I know, a little
bit. I just got a problem.
He thought it was slow. I loved it.
Well, it is a slower pace.
It is.
It's purposefully slow.
I think so. Well, he definitely shouldn't see Blade Runner 24.
No.
new movies coming out in theaters.
Lady Bird. Sorry, Saoirse.
Hell yeah, Saoirse.
Whatever,
Saoirse.
I don't give a fuck how you pronounce that name.
Oh, I do.
What is that?
Saoirse. It's the Irish name, first name of an actress. Saoirse Ronan.
What's Lady Bird?
Oh, I don't know. It's a movie that you just said. What's Lady Bird? I have no idea.
I don't know. It's got 92 Metascore. It's rated R, so.
A 92 Metascore? Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, does it have a description?
Directed by Greta Gerwig. The Adventures of a Young Woman Living in Northern California for a Year.
It's the Greta Gerwig movie that I've been reading about a little bit, sort of.
I feel like maybe they had a trailer for that at Florida Project, but I don't remember it.
It seems like a type of movie that would play at the
end.
Oh, you know what else I was going to say? I saw on the NZN website, Shape of Water. December 22nd.
Nice.
It's going to be at the QS Film Festival when I go down there in a couple weeks too.
Are you gonna see it there?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, lucky.
I'm pretty excited.
Lucky.
Also coming out this weekend, Last Flag Flying.
Hmm.
Directed by
It's pronounced Thank You for Your Service.
No, Last Flag Flying. This one with Bryan Cranston, Lawrence Fishburne, Steve Carell.
Steve what? Carell?
They're the dads of the guy who died, and they have to get his body, and they get blah, 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 blah. We saw a trailer once, like a couple weeks ago.
Did we see the trailer for this? They're dads, and they gotta get the flag so they cannot kneel, because this is America.
30 years after they served.
I stand for the flag. I kneel for the cross.
30 years after they served together in Vietnam, a former Navy corpsman reunites with his old buddies, former Marine and Reverend, to bury his son, a young Marine killed in the Iraq.
Sounds like a bummer.
Also,
is
coming
it
out
supposed to be a comedy with those actors?
No!
Sorry, but no.
Oh.
It's a thing where they find comedians like, we know you're sad, just act sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You say it was Ray Romano? Okay.
Also coming out this weekend, Roman J. Israel Esquire.
That comes out this weekend?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
That's got to be limited release.
Terrible title. Roman J.
Israel Esquire.
Israel, comma, Esquire. Period. starring Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington?
Yes.
I saw the trailer. I don't have any desire.
Oh, you saw the trailer? I have desire based purely on being Dan Gilroy, writer, director of Nightcrawler.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a wacky movie.
Yeah, it's a wacky movie. A movie about a guy who succeeds working the fringes, working the system and using it, working it illegally, but making it work for him. Mm-hmm. This movie is about a guy who's a director. He's an attorney who's an activist, and then he turns on his own ideals to game the system to make monies. And it seems very kind of like...
I mean, I do kind of like Denzel and his bad guy roles, so maybe I'll give that.
He starts pious. Yeah. He starts pious. A lot of people don't like pious Denzel. Mm. And the movie definitely starts pious. He'll be speechified.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be speechified. My mom hates when Denzel speechifies.
I can't. That's all he does.
I'm like, no, sometimes he stares. Sometimes he just stares quietly without saying a word. He does the opposite. But then by the second half, he'll be like a Better Call Saul criminal. You don't need a criminal lawyer. You need a criminal lawyer. I'm surprised it's come out already. It's got to be limited release. So.
Also coming out this weekend.
I would like to get around to seeing that.
A Bad Mom's Christmas.
Yeah.
Bad Mom's Christmas. Actually, I think it's coming out Wednesday.
I have no shame. I'm excited.
Are you?
Yes.
I'm just glad that they managed to do this sequel first before they did their... Bad Dad's sequel that they floated.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, finally we got a movie where... Or dads get to act like idiots.
They always do.
Dads are idiots.
Every
That's
movie.
That's real life. Yeah. You don't need them.
Regardless of genre, the dads act like idiots. It doesn't matter. That's what dads do.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Dads. Oh, it's going to be huge. People are going to love it. Kevin James.
Exactly. No.
You already know how those pitch meetings
Can't
went.
Can't do it.
I like that they made it a Christmas movie.
Me too.
But then it seemed, well, I guess November. At least the way it's in November. So, right?
Yeah.
It's a little early.
It is a little early. But we're starting Christmas celebration already anyways everywhere else.
Yeah. Yep.
Like before Halloween now. It didn't used to be.
Well, I did have to take my car to Midas yesterday. So Christmas is in the air for sure. For sure. When he woke up and it was a little cold, he thought it was, it's cold front.
Sweater weather.
No, you thought it was sweater weather because of the weather patterns? No, it's because misfortune is swirling all around us.
Indeed.
And that's the Christmas spirit about to be visited upon us all. So what else is coming out, Drew?
And then there's this tiny movie called Thor Ragnarok.
Thor Ragnarok comes out, directed by Taika Waititi. So fun to say.
I'll see that one.
It looks fine.
Yeah.
It's actually getting very good reviews. Very good reviews.
Unfortunately, I have good friends who worked on like all of those, so I know everything that happens. I won't spoil it.
Oh, like plot-wise and everything?
Oh, everything.
No, that's
I know literally every detail of all of them.
You know,
that and the Avengers.
You know all the jokes? You know all the jokes?
No.
Okay, see, that's the thing. You're going to Thor for the jokes because it's Taika Waititi. He's a comedian.
He's great.
And he said that he was surprised how much improv that they let him get away with because that's his style.
Yeah.
He expected to show up, shoot the script, and then like, all right, let's do our improv style. And then the second day, someone tapped him on the shoulder and be like, this is not how we do this. But that never happened. He kept showing up and improvising with his actors. And he said what he would do is with Hemsworth and Ruffalo, they would shoot the scene as written. And then be like, all right, let's do some alts. Let's do some different ones. What do you think the characters really want to say? Like, this is what Thor says in the script. What do you think Thor really wants to say right now? And he said they used a surprising amount of that stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I like that way better.
I think so, too. More spontaneity within. Just because you have a written story doesn't mean you still can't be spontaneous.
Spontaneous.
Doesn't mean you can't be spontaneous within it, Drew.
Spontaneous.
Spontaneous.
I like his better.
Spontaneous Jones.
Yeah.
And then I was going to say something else too about the blah, 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 and I forgot. Chris Hemsworth is a funny guy.
Yeah, man.
It was just a surprise.
I loved the little, like, sketch that was floating around. I don't even know where it came from, where he was, like, the roommate
yes. or whatever. That was Taika Waititi. Funny.
Yeah, that was...
that was the first thing they ever shot together.
That was Thor messing around during, what, the Avengers movie?
Right? During Civil War.
During Civil War, yeah, because he wasn't around.
Because he wasn't in Civil War, is yeah. he? Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Which is really funny. Hemsworth thought when he wasn't... His character was in Civil War. He's like, oh, no, I'm done. I'm out. Because the Dark World is like one of the lower rated mm-hmm. Marvel movies. Like, I'm done. They're getting a new Thor. They're going to write me out. They're going to cast my brother. I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm out of this thing. And they had to, I'm like, no. We have other plans for you. Don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. So then when Ragnarok came around, he was obviously very, very relieved, to say the least. So we're going to see this.
Oh, yeah.
That comes out this week?
This weekend.
This Sweet. Friday. Comes out this Friday. We actually already got our tickets. We got a ticket for my brother, too. So we'll find out what my brother thinks.
I've got a bunch of my grads on it, so I got to go take pictures of the credits and stuff.
Take pictures of the credits. I'm going to report you to the FBI.
10 minutes. I mean, you know.
Can you do that? Can you just live stream the credits, the closing credits of a movie? Will someone report that as like...
I doubt it.
Piracy. Like, these are just the names. No one cares about the names.
No one else stays. No one stays. Except for film people.
This is for them. All right, there you go, Thor Ragnarok, Roger.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
It's very sensitive with it. Look, it's just the cable. Just the cable. Look at that. Look. Stupid. With the cable.
Chris.
With the wire. Dr. Drew. The doctor's in with your prescription for life. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, we've been talking about it for a while, but it's really starting to come to a head. I mean, with... all these movies, all this TV, all this Netflix, new music, new video games. I mean, there's too much content out there, and I do not have the time for all of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. I'm confused and lost.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think I need an adult.
Preach, preach.
Cogburn out.
Cogburn out. Drusa Cogburn saying there is too much tent. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, go to pftmedia.com. You can check out all of our shows. Cinema Crespediso, What's the Fuss, Poking the Bear, The Lady Raptastic Show. We'll talk about that more in a second, etc., etc. There's too much content, but we're going to get through it all.
No,
even if it kills us.
I'm not going to get through it all. That's the problem.
You couldn't if you wanted to.
Well, nope. Then we're going to get through as much as we can until we die. How about that? How about that for a compromise?
Sounds good.
All right, compromise time. Let's take a break. Crespo Disco. I grabbed a song from the Stranger Things Volume 2 soundtrack. I guess we just called it Stranger Things 2 soundtrack. And it's, what are these guys' names? I wrote them down. Kyle Dixon and Michael Stein. Half of the group Survive. Very cool electronic band, I guess you would call them. And it's two members of that group. So here's one song called Walkin' in Hawkins. Because the town is Hawkins.
Like
is it Christopher Walken in Hawkins?
But it's not an E.
It's not Walken in Hawkins?
No,
it's just Walken in Hawkins?
No. Alright, so here we go, guys. Listen to the song, and then we'll be back with the second half of the show. I think we're going to eat a donut. You eat a donut? You want a donut?
Maybe.
Yeah, we got some good donuts. Do it. Reese's Pieces on.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. Watch your language.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
All right. Here's Skyrim. How you doing, Drew?
Doing.
Nikki Wilson. What's up, Nikki?
Nada.
All right. We're hanging out, having a good time, doing our thing. We're all hopped up on King Donut. Donut King.
King Donut?
They are the King
Donut. Different.
We need to open up a King Donut.
As opposed to Donut King.
As opposed to Donut King. Yeah. And get in on that reasonably priced, well-done donut market.
Mm. Have you had their Cronut?
I have not had their Cronut, no.
Oh, God.
Is it good?
The best one there.
Have you, Drew?
No.
So good.
Every time I go, I was thinking this today, every time I go, looking at the wall of donuts behind them, like, I want two of those. Give me some Lucky Charms. I want them on Oreo ones. Give me that coconut, right? Having so much fun. That's part of the fun, just picking them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then as they are putting up the box together, they're bringing it all together. Six amazing big donuts for $6 and change. Come on, guys. It's incredible. I look down at the case that I'm leaning on. The case is filled with all these amazing, gigantic pastries.
Mm-hmm.
Like donuts on steroids. Steroidal donuts. Too much donut content.
The apple fritter one is pretty good, too.
I know what. God.
So good.
Drew loves himself a damn apple fritter, doesn't he?
I do.
Do it up. They're not allowed to call them Cronuts legally, but
because
like some company in LA or something.
Interesting. I know they were invented in New York, maybe.
Yeah, it was like.
What do they call them?
I don't know. I always call it Cronut anyways.
They call them Cronuts at in this little French bakery downtown. I guess they're figuring no one will notice.
Yeah,
It is on the bottom shelf towards the back. You got to lean down to find it. But it's a Cronut.
Give me an illegal Cronut.
Yeah, it's a Cronut with Nutella. And they actually cut
it. Oh, my God.
And then put Nutella in the middle and then heat it up. And then you sit there and you cut open to it. And yeah, that's a good thing.
Okay, I need that.
That's
info.
The French bakery downtown on our LA listeners are going to love this. On Magnolia and Pine. Right around the corner. Or the building where the Chase Bank is.
Yeah.
Behind there.
Nice.
There's a French bakery tucked away in there. It's good stuff.
I'm going to look it up.
I got to recommend it. Drew, where can people find your baked goods?
Nowhere. I don't make baked goods.
Well, then how come you had me set up Drew Sells Cakes at isellbakegoods.com?
I didn't.
I think it's Drew Has Cakes.
That wasn't
cakes.
You? Drew Has Cakes.
Yeah.
Drew Has Cakes at Drew. Did I get the message wrong, Drew? I'm sorry.
Yes. You always get the message wrong, Chris.
Well, did you already eat the cakes?
Cakes are eaten and gone.
So you don't need the email anymore then?
Nope.
Okay. Well, where can people
never needed to begin with.
Where can people find you online?
At AntiHero419 all over the internet.
You can tweet, Drew, your favorite Saturday Night Fever GIFs, specifically the GIFs.
We're going to play if it's
GIFs. It's GIF.
GIF.
What am I saying? GIF.
GIF.
It's like
it's not peanut butter.
It's like, but it is like the peanut butter.
No, it is not.
It is though. It's nope. GIF.
Nope.
Because the guy who invented it.
No, he was wrong though.
But he invented it though, and he says it's a GIF.
I don't give a shit.
He's the artist who created it. So you're saying fuck George Lucas?
Yeah.
Take the art away from. Take Star Wars away from it. It's better without him.
Yes.
So
you're saying take the GIF away from the creator. Call it a GIF.
Absolutely.
To appease the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at AntiHero 419, send your favorite GIFs of Saturday Night Fever, specifically the suicide scene towards the end where the girl throws herself off the bridge. Yeah, send Drew some of those. That'd be pretty cool. And then also send him pictures of cakes. Nikki, first, where can people find you online?
I have.
Where do you want them to find you?
Well, I will actually say I just started a new production company 3 months ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So at Shoot the Box on Instagram.
Yes.
It's called Shoot the Box. It's on Facebook too.
Shoot the Box,
yo. Love the follows. Or my regular stuff, Nick Film Producer, N-I-K Film Producer on Instagram, or Nikki Wilson on Facebook.
There you go. And what's Shoot the Box producing? What's going on?
We've got so much stuff going on. It's kind of insane.
What do you want to promote right now? What do you feel like pumping?
Well, God, what can I talk about?
So much content.
Is a problem.
We were out in LA shooting two actual sizzles for pitches. Yeah, some sizzling. one was for, speaking of Creed, there's a guy named Elvis Grant who owns Grant Gloves. They were in Creed, and so was Elvis.
Okay.
He is he signed four new young fighters. So we're pitching a docuseries about his journey with mentorship, management stuff.
Nice.
Floyd Mayweather basically owes this guy his career, so they're really good friends still, and he's friends with Holyfield and Stallone and
all those guys. It's not what you know, it's who you know, 100%.
Yeah, I guess he figured out Floyd broke his hand in like the 80s or early 90s, something like that, and nobody could figure out how to get a glove on him that wouldn't hurt his hand more.
Yeah.
And Elvis figured out how to make an orthopedic glove that would protect his hand.
Get out of here. Now he owes it to him.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was a really, really cool project to be a part of, and we're super excited about that.
So you worked on the sizzle reel for that. You made it to help sell it to investors and get people to...
Making the business plan, all that stuff, and then pitching it to HBO and Showtime. And
that's exciting.
Yeah, we shot in Peter Berg's gym, which was the coolest shit ever.
Really?
In Santa Monica.
In his home gym or a commercial gym that he owns?
It's a gym he owns.
Okay.
Called Wild Card West Boxing in Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. That was really cool.
Is there pictures of military people on the walls?
There's pictures of every movie he's ever been involved in. Except for Corky Romano was not up there.
Corky Romano is the best one.
I know.
He plays an illiterate guy who's afraid to admit that he can't read.
I love that movie.
It's such a good movie.
You guys want some cookies?
Yeah, come on, guys. let me sit down by the fireside and let Grandpa Chris tell you a story of a man named Chris Kattan.
Indeed.
They won't be speaking No, they won't. Maybe everyone forgot who this. I saw Chris Kattan's side thought, Conan, the one taping of a TV show I've ever seen, a taping of the Conan show. It was Late Show? The Late Late Show. Chris Kattan was the main guest.
Nice.
And when he was announced, like, all right, we have Chris Kattan here. And it was like, and then they announced the next guest. I don't even know who that was. I was like, oh man. And then it was a band called Gomez. And I was like, oh man, we got the shaft on this
one. I've done a couple of those, and the biggest like letdown of my life.
Yeah.
Dominic Monaghan, I think was his name, the guy from Lost that played Charlie on Lost.
Oh really? Okay.
And he was in all the Lord of the Rings movies or whatever.
Yes, one of the little guys.
The little ones.
What was he the main?
He was. Yeah, and he spent that's 8 minutes talking about recycled toilet paper.
Mm.
It was the most boring.
That's right. Why?
I don't know. And I was like, what the hell just happened?
That's terrible. What show was that? Do you remember?
I think it was a Jimmy Fallon taping. I went to a Chelsea Lately one with Bradley Cooper, which was cool.
Oh, that's cool. That's
and
a good
that was
one.
Really fun.
That's a good one.
I was front row too because I went with a hot chick. And they put us in the front, and I was like, I know I'm just skating by on this chick right here.
That's hysterical.
It was fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See, you got a good one. Didn't you say you were shooting two reels?
So the other one was for a tattoo shop called Funhouse Tattoos in San Diego.
Okay.
A reality show based around them. The guy that runs the place is Crazy Pants Bananas.
Oh, really?
His name's Seth. He did my I Love Chaos tattoo on my arm.
When you were just there?
No. Like
you've done that
7 years ago.
Oh, so you knew the
I've
guy
known
already.
For a million years. Yeah. And we had a blast hanging out with them for a couple of days and shooting a whole bunch of stuff. And they are characters. Like one of the guy tattoo artists married this girl after a month, and their wedding was trip on acid, jump out of a plane, and then when they landed, they had the ceremony and they exchanged gold fang teeth. Instead of rings.
All right.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I say, Drew, what do you think of that one?
Sounds a lot of fun.
Pretty excited about that one, too.
Wow.
And I just like being a part of stuff in California. Like, it's awesome in San Diego. I love San Diego so much.
California's pretty cool. San Diego is going to become LA's garbage dump.
Yes. Yes, it is.
If certain... Anyway. You got to see.
You'll understand.
You'll see eventually. Like, oh, that's what they were talking about all that time ago. I gotta clear all this out. Shoot the box.com?
We don't have a website yet. We're just doing social media for now.
Okay.
Because it's still, legit, we have had so much work that we haven't even had time to focus on that stuff.
Sure.
But I have like 3 pictures on our Instagram. I think one of them's the logo, but I'm getting started. Like some of the stuff I can't show yet.
Right. Exactly. It's gonna be, you're just getting started. So those things will be coming out.
But we have so much, like we've been writing, we did a documentary treatment for this one. I'm like, I really want to happen. I'll probably be doing crowdfunding and some of that, soon on midwifery and the history and black culture with it. My business partner is a black guy. So we've done a lot of, so far, all the stuff we've been writing is a lot of that culture centric.
Yeah.
We shot a short film about the talk that black fathers give their sons, but instead of it being black actors, we used white actors kind of on purpose.
To make you like, oh, how come white people don't have to give this talk to their kids? Well, yeah,
so to anyone who's not black, they would like watch that and go, well, that's really weird. Why is a white father saying that? Because they don't have to have that conversation.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So we've been doing a lot of that kind of thing, which I love being a part of. And
it's very cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. That's awesome. I'm happy.
That's exciting. Yeah, you got a lot going
on. All good stuff. Last time I was here, I didn't have shit to talk about.
No, last time you were talking about how you were getting ready to like produce something, and
I don't remember what that was.
You were just teasing. I think it was all this stuff you're working on now.
Maybe
because didn't you just finish a big shoot with a bunch of kids in a house somewhere?
We did. Afro. Oh,
there we go. Afro Circus. Did you say Afro?
I did.
That's Afro Circus.
No, I'm not
kidding. Yeah, that wasn't our production company though. It was for a director we met in Cannes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe was that it? No, I think it was before you went to. I don't know. See, I don't know. It all runs together.
Yeah, there's a
lot. I feel like you always. I feel like you always do have something hopping when we're talking to you, but things are really popping for you now.
I know. It's so good. Thank you.
We appreciate you taking the time. No, thank you for coming out and hanging out with us. We were really interrupted by the Drusek Cogburn versus the world sound, which means we got to get this done. Here we go, Drew. First off, I did the math. 32 guests so far this far in a single year that we've done Drusek Cogburn versus the world.
Mm-hmm.
And at a record of 20-12.
It's not bad.
Not bad at all. I gotta say, not bad at all. And we have plenty of people lined up for you, as you can see on the board here. The names are coming. They're long. So you're 20-12. You're doing well. Nikki.
Yes.
Good luck to you. This week's game, I ran it by my brother.
Uh-oh.
You know, he actually did really well. So he thinks it's an easy game. He thinks it's easy. But yeah, we'll see.
I always feel confident until you start.
That's a thing.
And it all goes to shit.
And then it all goes to shit. Well, that's a problem with... Watch your language, Drew.
Fuck your language, Chris.
We're doing taglines.
Oh, God.
Movie taglines, but it's the horror movie edition, so that narrows it down for you. Horror movies, it's Halloween. We're keeping it Halloween-y themed. I'm going to give you the movie's tagline. You tell me... The movie. So, for example, in space, no one can hear you scream.
Alien,
correct. Just when he thought it was safe to go back in the water.
Jaws.
Jaws 2.
Go back in the water.
Just when he thought it was safe to go back in the water.
Back in the water.
Yes. So, there you go.
I gotta really listen, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. All right, guys. Those are two of my favorites to use when I do live trivia. I throw in a movie tagline question. Because I'll do the alien one first because it's easy.
Nice.
It sucks everyone in. Yeah. Then I'll do the Jaws 2 one. And I was like, oh! Here we go. So, okay. So, Drew, you won. I'm going to give you the movie tagline. You tell me the movie. Two groups, A or B. Choose wisely. What do you want?
A.
All right. Here we go. And I tried to make it go from easy to hard. And then, again, my brother thinks that I
failed. That's what she said.
Hi-yo.
I got it. I have it. I'm going to get better. I'm working on the board. I'm going to get better at it. I'll just edit it together to make it. No, I won't. It's so tiring to go into it. I already have other edits. I gotta edit out all that bleeping. All that bleeping.
All the fuck.
You have to all edit the out fucking
bleeping.
All the bleeping.
I gotta edit out all the fucking bleeping so everyone can hear the fucks.
Fuck.
Fucking shit.
So I try to make it easy and hard. Here we go. Number one. If Nancy doesn't wake up screaming, she won't wake up at all.
God, I'm gonna fail this.
Really? Nightmare on Elm Street?
That is correct. Go with your gut, guys, on this one. Go with your gut. Number two, the night he came home. Emphasis on the he. Big he emphasis. Like, tagline, their emphasis.
The night he
came home.
Halloween.
That is correct. Wow, see, look at that. I didn't even have time to make my drink. Number three, be afraid. Be very afraid.
Fucking shit.
It's supposed to get harder. Don't say it, Nikki.
I have no fucking idea.
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th is incorrect. The Fly.
Oh,
Gina Davis actually says that. The tagline is actually a line of dialogue. That doesn't happen often. Number four. The monster demands a mate.
What?
The monster demands a mate.
idea.
No idea whatsoever? Yeah. Any idea? No. Bride of Frankenstein. Bride of Frankenstein.
That makes sense.
And finally, number five, Drew. When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Night of the Living Dead.
No, Dawn of the Dead, the second of the series that leaves you at a 2 out of 5.
Good luck, Nikki.
Yeah, thanks.
Did you not get any of those?
You're going to need that.
I actually thought Bride of Frankenstein when you said the monster.
See, one. Go with what you think. My brother got that too, and I was like, whoa, he got that. I was like, but I thought it might have been easier. But here we go.
Don't worry, you're still going to win, Joe.
You'd be surprised, number one. Man is the warmest place to hide.
I know this one.
Man?
It's supposed to be the easy one.
I remember this one because it's fucking such an awesome tagline.
Man is the warmest place to hide.
Y'all, I'm so bad. The Host?
No!
The Thing.
Close, The Host, The Thing. Yeah.
Do I get half credit because I said the?
You do not. You do not. Number two. They're here.
Ooh. Oh, fucking shit. I know.
They're here. Drew, any idea?
I really want to say... I'm going to go with Poltergeist.
That is correct. Do you want to go with that?
I was thinking because that is correct. First in, or third in... Whatever, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
No, that one. Remember, it's a horror movie too. Remember,
true.
With horror movies, yeah. Number three, they won't stay dead.
There isn't a possible comedy / horror option.
That is possible. If it's horror, yeah, that's possible.
They won't stay dead.
They won't stay dead. Drew, any idea? No idea.
Night of the Living Dead.
That is correct. You guys are tied.
Shit.
You guys are tied. Number four. Who will survive and what will be left of them?
God.
That's a good tagline. Who will survive and what will be left of them? Drew, no idea. He's looking. He's thinking. No idea. But unfortunately, it's Nikki's around and she doesn't know either.
One more time.
Who will survive and what will be left of them?
Jason versus Freddy or something?
No.
That's a good guess.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original. And finally, number five, he'll tear your soul apart.
He'll tear your soul apart.
Any idea, Drew?
I have a guess.
You have a guess or a what? Let me see what you're guessing. He'll tear your soul apart.
Candyman?
No! Candyman's a good movie, too. What was your guess, Drew?
Hellraiser
is the movie, yes.
Yeah, I didn't even remember that was a movie.
So that puts you at 2 and 5. You guys are tied, so here we go. We're going to do a tiebreaker, so I got to get you up. There we go. Let's see. I got to get you up. No, because this is the fun part.
No, this is the fun part. This is where you get to guess.
Yes. No, you will.
If you haven't been guessing this whole time, now is a great time to guess.
You tied at 2 and 5. Why just give it to them? This is a battle. This is fantastic. This is what the people want. So here we go. Tiebreaker is the one.
Don't cheat.
Let's see. Did I give you guys the tiebreaker last week?
No.
Right. Closest to the pin. Going over, it doesn't matter. I just want the closest. How many Disney animated movies have been released in the theater? And this does not count Pixar movies. All right, so Disney animated films. Going back to, I'll even give you the first one, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, right? All the way in the 30s. Going back that to the present, as of today, how many Disney animated movies have been released in theaters? Our answers are in. Here we go. Drewster Cogburn said 13. Nikki said 29. The answer is 56. Holy. Nikki is the winner.
Wow.
Well done, Nikki.
I won. Never won before.
That's right.
It was not from skill.
59. Jesus Christ.
Yeah!
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Oh, yeah. I have obviously not seen most of them.
Look at that. We'll cross that out.
Well done. Well done. Look at that. So, putting you at 20 and 13, Drew, that matches your loss total for last year.
Mm-hmm.
But at 20 wins, you have more wins this year than you have any year previously. Because
it would make sense because I've gone up against more people.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. With one, two, three, at least four more, and I'm going to try to get another three or four before the year is out. Drew, I'm nowhere near done. But still, 20 and 13. Doing pretty good. Well done, Nikki.
Thanks.
Very well done.
It was not from skill whatsoever.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I mean, you got two of the taglines right. You deducted. I mean, only 13, Drew, really? In the 90s themselves, there was like four or five of them.
I don't fucking know.
You don't fucking know. Now you do.
And I obviously now haven't seen most of them.
Now you do, 56. So. Now you do. Well, you don't have to see them. I haven't seen most of them. 56, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot. I've seen maybe a dozen. 16.
Excuse me.
A little pause. We're going to take a quick show break there. There we go. All right, back to reality. Shoot the box.
Yeah.
Everyone shoot that box. Check it out. follow Nikki Wilson all over the place on the internet. And also, don't forget to send those cake pictures of Drew.
I can have cake pics, too.
So what? On Twitter? Nick film producer?
No, I think it's Nikki Wilson on Twitter.
Is it really?
N-I-K-K-I Wilson with two L's.
Well, two L's, people. Don't make that
two
mistake.
Two L's, yeah.
Yeah, annoy some other Nikki Wilsons with your cake pictures.
There's a Nikki Wilson producer on Doctor Who. You can send her cake pics.
Send her your butt cake pictures. Oh, don't. And when you say butt cake pictures, people interpret that in different ways. Drew, when I say butt cake, what do you think?
I think
a butt cake picture. What do you think? What do you expect to see when I say butt cake picture?
A cake shaped like a butt.
Cake shaped like a butt, Nikki.
That's pretty accurate.
I was thinking people would be like, well, here's a picture of like people sitting on cakes. Cake sitting.
Ah.
The cake sitters.
That is a thing.
Have you heard? Yes, it is a thing. Have you heard of the cake sitters,
Drew?
There's
a lot of sitting things.
There's a lot of sitting on
faces,
things. Faces. Cakes.
Oh, God. I said that out loud.
Ice creams. You did say that. I'll bleep that too. I'll bleep it all. The show is for kids. Yes. Like the Lady Raptastic show for kids. I was going to use the plug section to say, check out the Lady Raptastic show on pftmedia.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Episode 1 came out last Wednesday. Episode 2 coming out this Wednesday. Do you know Lady Raptastic? Have you heard of the legendary Lady Raptastic, Nikki?
No.
Lady Raptastic has been, first, Lady Raptastic did a podcast back in like 2009, back when he had to explain what podcasting was to people. And then she was on the radio. SBK Live is where I heard her, because like that's how I got into all this stuff anyway. And she's been kind of MIA for a bit, popped up real quick on the News Junkie, I think, earlier this year on 104.1. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to work. I tracked her down. We negotiated. I gave her a show on our PFT radio network.
Nice.
So people listen to... The problem is, what happened was, part of the negotiating, I had to I gotta pay for her the bus fare. It's a $30 a monthly pass I gotta pay for. She refuses Uber and Lyft, afraid of being molested.
Oh man,
I'd be more afraid of being molested on the bus.
No, she can handle herself on the bus because she's used to the bus. The Uber and Lyft are new things. That's why she's old school. That's the problem. It's just trying to convince her that it's anyway.
Mm-hmm.
She wants only red M&Ms. It's very annoying to have to buy all these M&Ms and then just go through the red ones. And then also, she said, I got to be on the show with her because she's like, I don't want to do it by myself. So I got to be there with her. She says, I need someone to talk to. I'm like, all right, fine. So unfortunately, I am on the show as well. And I say that because that's a huge drawback. I don't want to be on the show. I just want to listen. I just want to enjoy. I want to download it and listen like everyone else. When said I gotta be on it, but it's on her.
I'll check it out.
But check it out, Lady Raptastic show. It's a lot of fun. It's a good time and it's short. First episode, it's 15 minutes. Second one's 20 minutes.
Nice.
Second episode come out every Wednesday. So episode 2 coming out this Wednesday. Unless you're listening to this episode after Wednesday, in which case it's out already.
Check it out.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Tweet the show at Chris Crespo. Email us, cinemacrespo@gmail.com. Facebook, Cinema Crespo. The Cinema Crespo group, etc., etc. True. What's up with that?
Tweet the show at Chris Crespo.
Tweet the show at I am Chris Crespo. Hit me up at Crespo. Okay, so the first half of the show, I was
hit the show up at Crespo. Hit you up at I am Chris Crespo. But, that's you said it the way around.
Flip it, reverse it.
And you said just Chris Crespo, not you are.
Missy Elliott, flip it and reverse it.
Just keep drinking. You know what? Make it a double for me.
This is a double because it's a big cup.
You're going to need it.
I think it's more of a sugar buzz going on because I went to that. The Donut King. The King Donut himself, the Donut King. You sugar. Missed it. We had the donuts with the Lucky Charms on it. What'd you call it, Drew?
There weren't Lucky Charms. They're Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah,
You don't even know what your cereal is.
I had the one with the sugary cereal on it. I didn't even grow up eating these sugary cereals. The only one I got to eat was Fruit Loops. That was the one I was allowed to eat.
Marshmallow Fruit Loops are the shit.
Marshmallows.
It's like Lucky Charms marshmallows with Fruit Loops.
I did not get the one with marshmallows. Drew, on the other hand, he is
a fat kid.
Practically unsupervised child. He got to eat
whatever I wanted.
Handfuls of sugar for breakfast.
Interesting the skinny one.
Yeah, my metabolism is awesome.
He has the metabolism of a hummingbird on methamphetamines.
We weren't allowed to eat anything with sugar, and my mom drank Dr. Pepper and would draw a Sharpie line across the top.
She was having sugar but wouldn't give it to you. That's not fair.
First day on my own, I bought marshmallow Fruit Loops.
To my parents, really?
That's yes, funny. For real.
See, that's the thing. It's not you're going to rebel. Like, now I want all the sugars.
Yeah.
To my parents' credit, they didn't do that with food. If they were eating it, then I would eat it. So, like, well, here's your, here's your.
No, my parents were evil.
Here's your fried chicken. Here's your vodka tonic. Have a nice night, kid. I was like, all right. Thanks, Mom. Man, you know what? I'm going to double check. It's a real bummer. True.
He's dead.
Who?
Billy D! Where's Billy D?
Aww.
Billy D, our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado. We got to figure out a travel arrangement to get up there for a goddamn winter wedding in the Northeast.
What the hell they would have figured that out?
He's getting married, like, soon, I guess. I mean,
we need to figure it out. I've just been waiting for you because, you know, you're.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That lazy is what it is. Sure. We got to figure it out. Get up there for a stupid thing that is
in the middle of February.
In the middle of February. In the middle of winter. Ew. In the middle of winter in New York.
Who does that?
People who live there are inconsiderate.
A little bit.
And then expect their Floridian friends to make the trek.
That's when you do a destination wedding. If you want that in February.
Right.
We're going to Puerto Rico. No.
No, we're not.
Dominican Republic.
Yeah. Puerto Rico.
Maybe Hawaii. How about let's go with Hawaii.
Guys.
Hawaii is just fine.
Donate to Puerto Rico. There's like 75% of the island is still 100% fucked. So I'll bleep that out. No.
Yesterday at FedEx, I saw some guy trying to mail a generator, and it was quoted as $500 to ship it.
That's crazy. Why are they doing that, man? Come on. Ridiculous. They're trying to help, and they're getting their cut. Like, we need our cut. Capitalism. Yeah. That's capitalism.
It is.
That's capitalism.
I mean, there's probably also logistic issues, but at the same time, like, $500 is crazy.
No, that's a lot of money. That's
you could get in a boat and go there yourself.
Theoretically, cheaper. Right? Man, what a bummer. People.
Anyway.
SavePuertoRico.org? That should be a website. If it's not, do a Google search. The Billy D is dead. So, rest in peace, Billy D.
I mean, now his postmortem makes sense.
And now, but the postmortem's coming out at midnight tonight. So Billy D does the postmortem. Mm-hmm. It's his web series, PFTV. It's our first web series. Billy D produces it. He's going through his 100 essential movies in all of October. He's been doing all horror films because he is our horror film aficionado.
Mm-hmm.
5 movies per episode. Guys, check it out. Coming out at midnight. Check out all the past episodes. Billy D's postmortem. And then if you're in New York, go to Brooklyn. Where is he? Williamsburg, right, Drew?
Somewhere just outside.
And
Bushwick.
Do you have his address? Let's give out his address.
I do have his address.
What we'll do is we'll put his address in the show notes, and then everyone in Brooklyn, you can go there and leave some sort of memorial, like flowers, teddy bears, stuff like that.
Because he's dead.
Dead.
So, and he obviously has a grieving fiance.
And he has a grieving fiance, so I guess the teddy bears are for her?
Sure.
Leave some chocolates too?
Maybe.
That's sexist, right? Mm-hmm. So, yep. Rest in peace, Billy D.
Ha ha ha. I'm is that like your 21 gun salute?
That's my 21 gun. Yeah. I mean, it works, right? Billy thought he was going to get one of these. But no. Because you're dead. You don't get what you want anymore.
Dead to us.
Dead to us. Dead to the world. So I guess that means we'll instead move on to the segment of the people, which is called the Vox Populi. What is that button? Here we go.
I know what you've all been waiting for. It's a world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
That's right, you see something, you let us know, and then we read it. Well, Drew reads it. Or you have a question, Crespo Dome Battle, etc., etc. We do it. It's your segment. Here we go, Drew. Take it away.
We got a message from Jason Dyke on Facebook.
Facebook. You can join the Facebook. Are you in the Cinema Crespo Dome Facebook group? You are awesome. You can hit us up in the Facebook group.
I'm in all your groups.
Hell yeah. I'm sorry about that. You know, we just, you know, when the number goes up, it looks better for, you know.
I'm all on board, guys.
Do you have is there a Shoot the Box like group or something like that?
Just a Facebook page.
Just a page?
Just a business page.
You should start a group. You'd be surprised. You get more traction out of a group. That's why we did it to begin with. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to bother with that garbage. But Big Tim Murphy, shout outs to him. Listen to Poking the Bear. He was like, no, do a group. You get way more interaction, way more traction, traffic, activity, et cetera, et cetera. Hmm. We did it just like you said. It blew up right away. Right, Drew? Hmm. It's kind of surprising, as a matter of fact.
Fair enough.
So maybe you should give it a shot, maybe.
I will check it out.
Because then you get the networking going. And I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm sorry. I'm mansplaining how to do your job. You know exactly what you're doing. Drew's a guy. Take it away.
I hate to be a corrector.
Oh, here we go. Another mansplainer.
But you guys have got to stop saying Deadpool is from 2017.
Why?
It came out February of 2016. Remember?
No, they obviously.
They announced Logan was going to be R-rated shortly after Deadpool made a shitload of money.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They still had to shoot Logan, and it eventually came out over a year after Deadpool in 2017. Okay. I am now sick of writing Deadpool and Logan over and over again.
Deadpool, Logan, Deadpool, Logan,
so
Deadpool,
I'd
Logan.
Like to propose a Crespo Dome throwdown battle between Deadpool and Logan, or Ryan Reynolds versus Hugh Jackman.
Oh, I feel like we've done this before, but it's always fun. Crespo Dome battle. Exciting. Crespo Dome battle, Nikki, is when we pit two people against each other, and it's first they do two rounds. Who's the better actor? And then who would win in a fight? So first off, who's the better actor, Hugh Jackman or Ryan Reynolds?
Hugh Jackman.
How unbelievable. Yes. We should have done a 1-2-3 Hugh Jackman. I agree wholeheartedly.
That is the answer.
Yes.
And you know who else would agree with that?
Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. I think all of us were like, yes, and Hugh Jackman would be very humble about it, but gracious, because he's just so likable. There's got to be something wrong with the guy, right?
Yeah, probably.
He probably molests children and old people
that's
all
so
the same time.
That's so extreme. Yeah. Why so extreme?
Just go with Smokes Crack, man.
Smokes Crack is extreme, too. I was thinking maybe just...
his teeth are way too nice for that.
Just maybe some slight racist views that he manages to keep to himself.
Oh, no,
maybe.
Major racist views.
If there are major...
Flat Earther.
Ooh.
Maybe he's a flat earther.
Flat earther.
Maybe Hugh
Do
Jackman's
a flat
earther. Do
we know who he voted for? Is he a Trumper?
Does he have a vote? Is he an American citizen?
He's a Hollywood actor.
Australian.
Because he's Australian, he's an American citizen, though.
I take that back.
Because he's been working here for 20 years now. I mean, at that point, he just gets citizenship. He's also
he's married
to an Australian.
So
it's like his high school sweethearts type of thing.
Nice.
Where that chick is like, whew, man. She got like, they have to have the deal. They got to have the deal. You know the deal? Nikki, you know the deal. When I say the deal,
they can sleep with whoever they
want. Yes, deal. Sure. And there's got to be parameters. You don't bring it home. Don't flaunt it. It can't be in the tabloids, et cetera, et cetera, right?
Probably.
And then when that gets broken is when these things break up.
Yeah.
He probably has the deal, right?
I'm sure.
I mean, if I was married to Hugh Jackman, he can sleep around. You do what you got to do, buddy. Keep bringing home that X-Men
bread.
I
would want him to just bring me with, though. Like, why would you leave me at home? I want to play.
Well, someone's got
to
raise the kids.
I'll say that's what nannies are for.
I'll say, oh, true.
I'll this is that. Also why you don't have children. It fucks up your sex life.
Well, then why did I adopt kids with him?
That's a good question.
See, in my world, we're married and we adopted kids. We adopted three beautiful black kids from Africa because apparently they're in surplus, you know. It's hard to get a white
they're
kid.
Everywhere.
Spanish kids are a little easier to get. If you want a black kid, like, I'll take one. Are you sure you don't want? We got two more. Where they came from. Because it's a racist, horrible system that we're all living in here.
It really is.
It's the programmer who wrote the system. It's his fault, you know.
We've got
the game that we're playing. No, wait. Who would win in a fight?
Hugh Jackman.
They're both jacked. Ryan Reynolds is 7 years younger.
I feel like Hugh Jackman's physique is much more from like doing manly shit, and Ryan Reynolds is like just working out in a gym.
Yeah, you know, manly shit like singing and dancing.
Yeah, no.
That's the most manly shit you can do, man.
Jackman is very much a gym trainer Hollywood bod. He is very ripped, but so is Ryan Reynolds.
I mean, they're both clearly ripped.
They're both absurdly Hollywood unachievable. Like, you have to be a millionaire to be this ripped all the time.
Yeah.
But who can actually fight? Who's done more action movies outside of X-Men movies? Has Hugh Jackman done more action? I feel like Ryan Reynolds does more gunplay type stuff. And
well, now, or comedy. Since Deadpool.
No, even before that, Safe House stuff.
Don't you think that he would do like the hand slappy move, though, in a real fight?
The Family Guy style fighting?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, just based on age and hence giving him the stamina edge, Ryan Reynolds. That's my pick for a fight. Drew.
I'm going to have to agree with you.
I'm going Hugh Jackman.
All right.
All day, every day.
All right, there we go. We got our first split. There we go. All right. Thank you from the corrections department. Yes, Deadpool came out in 2016. Why do we keep saying it came out in 2017?
It feels new still.
Because it still feels so new and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he is right, though. They did just finish shooting the second one.
Yeah.
But also 2016 and 2017, God, they've just been, the years have been so long. If it's been 2 years, it's been a decade.
Yeah.
The last couple of years, so. Drew.
Got an email from our homeboy, Joey.
What's up, Joey?
Yo, yo.
This is always a homie, Joey D.
Yes.
This is a homie.
Yo, yo, long time, no message. Still kicking it up here in Dirty Jers.
He moved to Jersey. I mean, it's awesome you got to go to Mets games, but why'd you move to Jersey? You know they're moving out of Jersey, right?
The last couple of weeks, I've been revisiting some of the recent Marvel movies.
Okay.
When I was war, the fight scene is missing something for me, and I realized that the fact I knew that no one important will actually die made it lame. The Marvel movies need the Game of Thrones feel, where anyone can die at any point. Damn the merch sale. I think the Infinity Wars will bring some big deaths. I haven't read the comics, so I have no idea who's supposed to die. Keep doing your thing, fellas, Joey D.
You know what? That makes a great point. There's no one. Oh, no. One person died. What's his name? The fast one.
Quicksilver.
Quicksilver died. Yeah. But he was in one movie.
Yeah.
And he was bad in the beginning, mm-hmm. good by the end, mm-hmm. and then he dies, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
No one else dies.
Nope.
Even Don Cheadle, yet. Actually, right, we'll talk about that in a second. No, because we know comics here. We talk about comics all the time. Drew knows comics.
I know comics.
Even Don Cheadle in the Civil War one, in that battle, he takes a blast to the chest, and he plummets like hundreds of feet, hits the ground so hard it causes like a little crater. And by the end of the movie, he's fine. He's walking around in a Stark suit. Like, he's all good, man. Who cares? He doesn't need his legs. He's got Stark suit. Stark tech. So that has been missing for the most part. Especially then with the whole Agent Coulson resurrecting for the TV show. It's been missing for over a decade. But the whole point of Infinity War is massive change. Death on a massive scale, right, Drewster?
I hope so.
It better be so.
I mean, the thing with comic books is, characters die all the time, but they always get brought back.
Yes, but we are dealing with a movie thing where actors are getting to a certain age, contracts are getting inflated to a certain point where certain people are now have to get paid. Chris Hemsworth isn't getting paid just three figures for Thor anymore. In the beginning, he was getting paid $200,000, $300,000. Compared to Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. getting paid his millions and millions at the small amount, but that's not happening anymore. Now he's getting his seven-figure paychecks.
Yep.
Infinity War is the perfect reason, Drew, you know it, to reboot many characters, change characters.
Well, yeah, and I mean, Marvel's been doing that in their comic series as well. You know, now the, there's a new Hulk that's Asian. There's
What? There's an Asian Hulk? That's awesome!
There's an Asian Hulk. There's, really? Yeah. There's all sorts. I mean, Hawkeye's a girl now. Thor's a girl.
I think they switched Thor back recently.
Iron Man is a
black chick. Yeah.
I mean, it's all changing up. You never know what the hell's gonna happen.
I'm gonna not comment because I know the answer.
Should we? Oh man, I can bleep it all out.
just know that there will be some of that.
So there is correction coming, maybe even in some ways an overcorrection, but it's, again, think about the contracts and the ages and
absolutely
the whole Phase 4, Captain Marvel, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and all the stuff you're gonna be doing with that. Mm-hmm. And we know, though, because we've been talking about it. Drew's been calling it Infinity War
since it started,
since
only one of Incredible them is called Hulk. That now. I think the second one changed titles.
Do you know the title?
I heard it, but I can't remember it now.
Oh, really? Because, yeah, that is some, like, vital information that if that would somehow, quote, wink, wink, leak onto the internet. Oh, I'm just saying. Baby.
But it is different. They changed it.
Yes, they won't release it because in some way it is somehow a spoiler. It is a spoiler. Happens. Yes.
That's right.
Because it's called Avengers : Hulk's Revenge on Thanos for Killing Captain America.
Da, da, da.
A weird title. Very wordy. Parentheses. There's no Spider-Man in this one for some reason. Close parentheses.
I'm still trying to get on reshoots for that because my boss from Fantastic Four is one of the travel coordinators.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been talking to her for a year because that's the only stuff that Idris is on, because he was directing a movie in London.
Oh, really?
But he's going to be in the reshoots in January, so trying to make that work.
Oh, man. He's going to be in the reshoots. What? There we go. Idris Elba reshoots for Avengers 4. Is that what we're talking about?
He's in...
Because he's in three. Movie. Yeah, they got everyone.
One. But he wasn't available this whole year when they shot both of them.
Because of his already busy schedule.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll get that title out of Nikki, I'm sure, at some point. and then they'll mysteriously leak onto the internet. We won't know how.
It'll be because of Cinema Chris, but he's
not me.
It'll be Chris.
It'll be because of Chris.
I legitimately don't remember, so.
Damn it! All right.
No, sorry.
Check your phone. Make sure you didn't take a picture of a script by accident.
Sure.
Drew Sakai, we're taking it away.
An email from our homeboy, Scott.
Scott is indeed our homeboy.
I still haven't seen Blade Runner 2049.
Interesting. Neither has Nikki. I like these people confessing not seeing Blade Runner 2049 as of asking for penance.
As a diehard theater jumper, I hate going to the cinema to see just one film on a given day. I like to string together two or three and feel like I'm getting my money's worth for my time and for these jacked up ticket prices.
It's like my brother.
I did four movies once. That was a long day.
That's a long. That is a long day. I think I've done three.
With three
most
was my most.
Yeah. Movies running to the 2 hour plus mark, standard running time, it's usually very easy to sync up the show times and move from one film right into the other and another. But Blade Runner's runtime of 3 hours with previews has thrown all attempts to sync up with the other movies. That's one problem. The problem
you
is
do
that
it
the,
last, dude.
The other problem is that all the other movies lately have been pretty uninspiring. I just don't really want to see them all that much. For example, this weekend, my best time sync scenario was Suburbicon,
okay.
Or The Foreigner, to Geostorm, to American Made, to Blade Runner.
American Made.
Mind you, that's three ho-hum movies just to get to the one that I actually want to see. And when Blade Runner is the last of a four-movie day, that's gotta be fucking exhausting.
Four movies is a lot. Maybe the last of a three-movie day. Yeah. It is 2 hours and 40 minutes.
That's a long movie.
And even worse than that, the movie that deserves my money isn't getting it. Yes, even as a theater-jumping heathen, I still make an effort to give my money to those I deem worthy. I jumped into Mother and then went back a week later and paid for a second viewing. Now that's some jumper guilt at work. But I also buy a soda every now and then, just to give some money to the cinema itself. Gotta keep them in business, right?
Right.
Plus a beverage in hand is a great prep for facilitating the jump from one theater to another. It lowers suspicions from would-be whistleblowers. He bought a drink, so surely he bought a ticket. Anyway, even if I try to start the day with Blade Runner, giving it my money, and its long runtime, the only start time that almost syncs up is Happy Death Day. I'd probably miss the first 10-15 minutes. I really hate missing time. And then into Geostorm. Again, two movies that I could really care less about. It's been like this every week since Blade Runner came out. I keep hoping these times will all work themselves out and I'll get my perfect satisfying run, but I'm starting to lose faith that it'll ever happen. I may have only one more week, maybe two after this, before it's gone from the big screens. I know I can't let that happen. Help me, Ragnarok, with your five screens and countless showtimes. You are my only hope. Take care, guys. Scott.
Yeah, Scott, you're going to have to do just a straight-up double feature Thor Blade Runner if
great
you're going to try to...
Oh, God. That is one be a pretty cool action-packed feature. Neon double feature.
That could be a very cool double feature, as a matter of fact. Are you a theater hopper? What's your position on theater hopping?
I was in high school.
Yeah, I feel like it's a young man's game, a young person's game, so to speak, yeah. Right? Got to have the butt energy to be able to sit through that much...
Well, it's not even just that. I like to pay money to see things legally.
Well, now that's the adult in you. That's what I'm saying also. Now as you're an older person.
And the filmmaker part.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Like
as a content creator.
Industry existing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I could understand it with things like, I don't know, a Madea movie. Go for it.
Just throw it in there.
Yeah.
Or at least watch a few minutes of a Madea movie. See Blade Runner, dude. See Blade Runner, Nikki.
It's seriously happening.
See Blade Runner, Scott.
I was just looking up the times.
You're just looking up the times? Drew, yeah. Let's go see Blade Runner.
God, I got shit to do tonight. I got video games to play. Got that new Assassin's Creed, bro.
Do you have shit to do tonight, or do you have video games to play?
I have video games to play.
Okay, alright, fair enough.
I'll be honest.
Fair enough.
I do not have shit to do.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I appreciate it.
American Made is out too. I might have to see.
American Made's good.
That was all right. It was fun.
It's good. It's not great, but it's pretty solid. It's Tom Cruise
and Loving Vincent.
Tom Gleason.
I had to walk out of the last 10 minutes of the movie because I got weirdly sick for some reason, out of nowhere.
You didn't miss much.
I didn't miss much. I mean, we get it.
It's a true story type thing.
True story type stuff. Just go to the Wikipedia page. You get it.
Exactly.
Just change some details, but you get it. Drew Cogbert.
Got an email from Jason Dyke.
What's up, Jason Dyke? Shout out to Scott. Shout out to Joey D. Jason Dyke. He's the corrections department.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, corrections department's back.
I don't usually go to throwback movie screenings. When a theater shows an older movie for one night only, I find they tend to fall under two categories. One, I know it well, I like or love it, and I've seen it so many times, why would I pay to see it again? I own it already, for Christ's sake. Although, I kind of wanted to see the T2 Judgment Day re-release.
That's okay. I'll say real quick. The reason to see an older movie on a big screen is so you can see it on a big screen with awesome sound. It's like, whoa, I'm in a theater full of people. Some of them who haven't seen the movie before.
I had never seen Night of the Living Dead. I saw it at Endian.
That's a great way to see it the first time, right? I saw Halloween on the big screen a couple of Halloweens ago, 2 years ago, and there were people in the theater who hadn't seen it before, and they were like, reacting to things. I was like, this is fantastic.
That's awesome.
I'm sorry, Drew. Go ahead.
Or category two, I don't like it. Suspiria, for example.
Okay.
My history with Suspiria. I checked out a VHS copy from the library about 10 years ago. I brought it home to my 32-inch Sharp brand standard definition television. It looked and sounded like shit. I may not have been paying a lot of attention to it. My opinion formed, Suspiria sucks. Why do people like the shitty movie? Well, it's Halloween time in LA, and it's like Christmas for all these Hollywood freaks.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed Suspiria playing at my local Arclight Cinemas on a Tuesday.
Nice.
Hey, I have the night off, but I don't remember the movie being so great. Yeah, but it has been a decade since I've seen it. Maybe it's better than I remember. Whoa, are you trying to change a deeply rooted 10-year opinion on something? Sure, why not?
Yes.
Maybe I can be a better man for once.
I like it. Exciting attitude towards life, Jason.
So I asked my girlfriend if she wanted to go see Suspiria at the Arclight.
Bragger.
She seemed excited, so that decided it. I was going to challenge myself with a second viewing. Play a Wilhelm screen over this part, or the email, or that dumb drop from this week's Spillover bonus episode. News has fallen. You must understand, Suspiria is...
Oh, wait, the dumb one. Was he talking about the Dillinger Escape Plan one? All right, go ahead.
Suspiria is an Italian atmospheric horror movie from 1977 with an obnoxiously loud score. I knew the deal. Just because it has been 10 years doesn't mean I don't remember its basic attributes. I knew that I definitely needed to get through this movie. Weed. So I downed about 10 milligrams of banana bread brownie, got us a big old popcorn and a giant soda, and found myself standing in the same theater I just saw Blade Runner 2049 in a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure which movie was louder. Suspiria pummels you with loud Italian progressive rock band Goblin from the start and hardly lets up throughout. It's so loud. And any other horror movie shows you the scared female protagonist slowly walking through the creepy hall and... with creepy quiet music or with no music at all. This fucking movie does the exact opposite. It blasts your eardrums, and when nothing is happening on screen, it's an assault on the senses for sure. And it results in ratcheting up the tension just by bombarding you with stressful noise. You begin to crave the noise during the quiet parts of the movie. The constant noise seems to make the quieter scenes unnerving. The movie really fucked up with my head. In the end, I had a pretty fun theatrical Suspiria experience. The visuals are great. The cinematography / lighting is a feast for the eyes. The blood is bright red. It's a pretty much all dubbed, which gives you an otherworldly quality. The kills are so over the top, it's hilarious. Oh, and it's about witches. I just can't stop listening to the soundtrack by Goblin. You should play it on the Crespo Disco. Shit, you won't need to read this until after that. Whatever. Love, Jason.
Nice. A reappraisal of Suspiria. Now he likes it because of the theatrical experience. That's very cool. I appreciate that. I have actually played Goblin in the past. Goblin's very cool, very electronic heavy. It's like I probably obviously influencing John Carpenter what he was doing at that time. I'll play some more Goblin again. Maybe yeah. Perfect. Just in time for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I'll play some Goblin.
Goblin giving.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Thanks, well, Goblin.
That's awesome. Thanks for the Suspiria revival review. It is a weird movie.
I missed that one.
They've been working. You missed it? It's a crazy... About witches. Italian witches. But it's very overly art-produced, and the music's intense, and it's more of psychological scares as opposed to, like, a gore, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, Dario Argento. He's a legend for a reason. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it. What else we got?
Got an email from Gabe.
What's up, Gabe? Gabe's our homie.
What up, show?
What's up? Oh, that's us.
Just a few till I can get into my Blade Runner matinee.
See, he hasn't seen Blade Runner yet either.
Batman vs. Two-Face review.
Okay.
Very consistent with the previous Harley Quinn animation. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous, over-the-top 60s Batman.
Mm-hmm.
The styling works for old man Adam West, mm-hmm. RIP, and Burt Ward. Mm-hmm. 60s Catwoman Crespo battle.
60s Catwoman Crespo. Okay, so who's the best? Who was Eartha Kitt? Who else was a 60s Catwoman? Meredith?
No.
You don't know?
I do not know.
You don't know at all?
No.
Eartha Kitt was one of them.
Yeah, that's the only one I know.
Oh, that she wins all the battles because boom. She's the only one that we can remember automatically. She was even the first one.
She would win even if she wasn't.
But, man, who was that? Oh, Meredith something or other. All of them look great in that cat suit. Drew, continue.
Time Crimes review.
Time Crimes is a fantastic... Have you seen Time Crimes?
I'm not sure if it's the same. It's weird.
Los Cronos Crimenis?
Spent this weekend engaging in Halloween, revisited Tucker and Dale versus Evil, and then weren't searching for never-seen movies. Based on a recent recommendation from Billy D's Postmortem, PFTmedia.com, I found True Crimes.
No, Time Crimes. It may have.
I'm just
keep reading. Go ahead.
Wow, the direction and camera movement is superb, a masterpiece. I just wish it wasn't called Time Crimes, because it kind of ruins the journey. I could see all the twists, the ending is dark, and I'm left rooting only for the biker. See it.
Yeah, Time Crimes. True Crimes. That was a mistake. It's true. Because I saw him interacting about it on the Twitters.
One of them was a mistake.
And he gave him a GIF with the guy with the...
A GIF.
I just don't say that word.
A graphical interfacing...
Yeah, graphic.
Yeah.
GIF.
Go from hard G to soft G.
Hey. The god of it.
From Tupac to Kenny.
From... Yes. Started from the top. Now we're here. Right?
So at the bottom?
Started from the bottom. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's how it works.
So we started at the top and now we're at the bottom.
It's just easier to go from the top to the bottom.
That's where we are.
You got gravity on your side.
That's true.
That we do. Going from the bottom, that's hard. That's
so much harder.
That's hard work. I don't feel like doing it. Is that it for me?
That's everything we got.
That's it? That's all of them?
Yep.
All right, well, here we go. You know what? Let me see real quick. Were we going to have any... I think I teased the movie news story. So I think I'm going to cut the movie news segment for now and just throw all the movie news stuff into this week's bonus episode. And instead, is there anything... You know, I mean, there is always This Week in Rape Culture, et cetera, et cetera. That's our new segment, Nikki. We've been doing it for a few weeks now. It's the beginning of every movie news segment. After we find out what's up with the Biebs, we do... This Week in Rape Culture, and we find out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And the most recent thing is Harvey Weinstein checked himself out of rehab after 1 week. He's cured! Yay!
Wow.
Hey, 1 week! Congratulations!
Good job, Harvey Weinstein! So he's ready to come back to America, get to work, and but meanwhile... meanwhile... NYPD cops flying to LA to interview people accusing them of straight up rape. Also, London police are asking accusers to step forward. And at least one person, the accusations are from 2013, which makes it within the statute of limitations. Wow. So let's see if Mr. Weinstein actually comes back to America. I believe he's in France right now. Extradition's a little tricky there.
He should go someplace with no extradition.
He should just move into fucking Roman Polanski's woodshed out back.
Yeah, they can hang out together.
Let's send all of the rapists out there.
Just send them out there. Woody Allen.
Yeah. You see the new Woody Allen premise? The movie he's doing with... Oh, fuck, I can't remember. Is it Hugh Jackman? No. I don't know. Someone looked that up. But it's about a middle-aged guy who falls in love with a, like, 14 or 15-year-old girl. That's the premise of Woody Allen's new movie.
Why, Woody? Why would you even do that?
It's the worst timing to do it. I mean, Woody should never do it.
Exactly.
But that specifically is the worst
and
time
And at this time,
ever.
This isn't the 80s where that's like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah, no. And I think it was Dakota Fanning's sister is the girl.
Elle Fanning?
I'm pretty sure. I, like, read this article in passing.
You mean... Elle Fanning, Dakota Fanning is now Elle Fanning's sister.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, yeah. That's the way it is now. man, it's crazy. God, it's bothersome.
It's
they show
really gross.
If we can only take all these dudes and concentrate them in some sort of camp, we can be for the better. Are you looking up? You see some sort of Woody Allen thing?
I'm trying to find out who it is.
Oh, who it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's not cast? Because he worked with Hugh Jackman before.
Someone like that.
These people, they work with him. They work with these guys all the time, you know? They're abetting their continued careers and success. And to be fair, Chinatown's amazing.
It's probably Elle Fanning and Jude Law.
Jude Law, that's who it was.
There we go. What a bummer that is.
Which he's also a scumbag anyway. So.
Is he a scumbag? Yeah. Well, he did cheat on his wife with a nanny, right? That's a very classic.
I mean, you know, the thing is, it's hard to put that label on it because literally everyone in Hollywood does that shit. He just got caught.
He just got caught, exactly. But now all the cockroaches are being swept out from out of the corners.
Yeah.
Man, I want them to name names so bad. I want Corey Feldman to name those names.
Me too.
Go ahead. Like, the biggest thing is, it's going to be someone that I love, whose art that I love, and I'm going to have to look back at all these movies that I own. I'm like, oh, this is all tainted now. It's going to happen. I just want it to happen. Drew, don't you want it to happen?
I do.
I want it to happen so bad.
I mean, guys, we wouldn't watch, like, half this shit if we knew.
If we actually knew.
Really did.
If we actually knew.
I still would. I can separate the art from the artist.
You gotta.
I can't.
You have to, because, I mean, if that's the case.
Because then you couldn't watch anything.
I mean, if that's the case, you might as well, all of the greats are pieces of shit.
Not all of them.
The majority of them. If you look at it.
My thing is more about, like, not contributing to their financial success. If I can watch it without that, then sure.
Sure, okay.
But
somehow.
Can't do it. Can't part with my money.
There we go. Can't give them monies.
Yeah.
All right, well, there we go. This freaking rape culture. We still did move a new segment. Also, the Austin Powers mask is now a hot seller this Halloween, thanks to Baby Driver.
Mm.
So.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Here we go. Where's the...
Bottoms.
Yeah.
Give you the question.
It's great.
You give us the answer.
Soundtrack is
so good.
For the Lightning Round.
All right, here we go. Lightning round time, Nikki. You've done this a couple times before. I have 10 questions, and I need 10 answers.
Yep.
These 10 questions, I outsourced them from my mother and my brother. So here we go. Drew, start that clock.
Go!
And number one, can you give me a second?
Sure.
Number two, how many Starbucks are there in New York City?
1,000 million.
Number three, what is Covfefe?
Ass.
Number four, is Trix really for kids?
Absolutely not.
Number five, smack dab in the middle of
Nebraska.
Number six, why do bad things happen to good people?
Because they're not really good people.
Number seven, yay or nay?
Nay.
Number eight, what can I ask the Queen of England?
For some tea.
Number nine, any question in your head?
Nope.
Number 10, you gonna have coffee?
Always.
There we go. Drew Sacogburn. We got the swag baggery. Green bag, red bag. Nikki, which one do you want to
take
home?
All about the green.
All about that green bag. Drew, break it open. What do we got?
You make it to go home with a 2-pack of plain spoons.
Yeah!
Makes mealtime more fun and encourages the baby to eat.
Plain spoons. You go open up the hanger. So much fun eating applesauce that way.
You've also got a Nickelodeon Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles play pack.
Yay!
It's got 4 crayons, 25 stickers, and a 24-page fun-size coloring book.
All right.
It's so much fun.
Also a 100-piece puzzle of a cowboy riding a horse.
Yeah, the fucking Bronco.
Got a bunch. Oh, a Cinema Christmas Pizza bootleg edition of The Adventures of Robin Hood.
Ooh.
And Behind Enemy Lines.
Nice.
Also a bunch of stickers.
Stickers, Steezy's Trap House stickers, Cinema Crespo Iso stickers, Swervy Jones stickers.
So many stickers.
So many stickers. Nikki, you can take all of that home, play with the airplane spoon, and play with the stickers, or you put that away and you take away
in the box
right over here.
Since I'm just started my Shoot the Box Productions, I think I have to go with the box.
We're going with the box. All right, go ahead. Pop the top. Juicy Cogburn, can you do me a favor? Reach in there and see what we got.
There's another
swag bag. All right.
This one's blue, though.
We got a blue swag bag.
Blue is a much better color than green.
What's inside the blue swag bag?
Well, this time you get some scary pirate teeth.
Yeah, just in time for Halloween.
You've got a Cinema Crisis bootleg copy of The Kane Mutiny.
Yeah, not starring Michael Caine.
It's a glow-in-the-dark grow and glow zombie. It grows up to 600%.
Yeah, zombie Halloween.
Sweet. I wish all things grew 600%.
Take that.
You got a tricky worm. Pull the hidden string and watch it slither.
Oh, apply the same jokes to that.
Bootleg copy of... What the fuck does that say? Oh, Down Periscope.
Yeah, perfect in time for Halloween.
Thank you.
You got yourself another swag bag, Nikki. That's the end of the show. That means I gotta hit this one. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. So much fun. Shoot the Box Productions. Expect a lot of great stuff from them. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I love it.
Drew, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Make sure to read more books, break up the big banks, be excellent to each other. Fuck the NFL because it's trash, but support the players. They say that they got all fucked up because of Donald Trump, and the fans are racist, but they're, man... Free Mumia Abu Jamal, alright? Just do it already.
A PFT Media production.